Amen. Thanks, Larry. All right. Let's we'll have our roll call now. Whoever's on the phone, will you identify yourselves?
Brad, huh?
Vance Green is here, and while I've got you guys' ear, just real quick, you probably noticed we're operating a little differently today off Mariah's laptop, and we're using the microphone in her laptop, which isn't really as good as the one in the speaker. So everybody, speak up, get close, yell and scream if you have to.
Okay, can you hear?
Yes, I can hear you in general. It's just not as good as we're used to. So, that's the point I'm trying to make.
And I go in and out. I'm on cell service and it's spotty.
Red? Okay.
Me.
You got it. Do you know everybody here?
Yep. I didn't get your first name.
Bob.
Okay. Yep, I got everybody.
All right. Okay. Approval of meeting minutes. Barry?
Mariah, I think, actually brought those, right?
Just August. I only had August.
But that's all we have to approve.
Okay, perfect.
The annual meeting in September, that gets approved next September. We have a draft that's been sent out. I don't know if it's been posted. Vance, has the draft of the annual meeting minutes been posted yet?
I haven't really gotten one yet, no.
Okay, well, I can email it to you. I drafted it, got some feedback from Jody and a couple of others, and so I can just email it out after the meeting, but it doesn't get approved until this year's annual meeting.
Okay, and I'll make sure that it gets posted as draft real clearly.
Okay, then I approve the minutes that we do have, the August minutes. Is there a further discussion, or do I have a second on that?
I'll second it.
I guess I made the motion. Joe seconds it. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Can Vance post those? So, Vance, you can post the August minutes. All right. Let's move on to our financial report with Jody.
Man, that was quick. Okay. First, I'm going to hand out where we are this year to date. And we need to make a couple changes on it this morning from information I received last night. Larry. And I have one extra for whoever likes. Anybody? Okay, the first thing I want you to do, okay, so basically right now, again, when I do the financials, this is up to the last day of the month, the previous month. So this is up through September 30th. The main checking account has about $54,000 in it. The manager's account at that time had about $400 in it. And our savings was about $11,500. Cash on hand is about $65,500, and we have an estimated income yet of coming in of almost $23,000. So our total cash coming in for the end of the year should be around $88,500. That's what that block is for. Now, under estimated expenses yet to pay, these are still things that are either going to come in or still open on the departments that have not been spent yet. So as we go through that, you can kind of see itemization of where we're at with all those departments. If you have any questions, ask me. So our total estimates that, and I try to do the estimates off of previous year and what I know was going to be spent. So we're going to owe about $64,000. So on the top right-hand corner, we have our estimated income and checking account at almost $77,000. Our estimated expenses is almost 64. We need to pull out the $3,800 that goes into our reserve account. That's our savings plan for the larger equipment replacement fund. So our end-of-the-year balance would be about $9,361. But, however, we had Garcane came out and did the transfer over and refilled all the propane tanks. This is upper and lower, right?
Yes.
And filled them all.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't need any more fills for the rest of the year. All right, so I had budgeted another $1,500 for propane for the headquarters. I also budgeted $2,500 for the cabin propane. So taking off that, what I've already budgeted for, you have to subtract that difference from our year-end, our positive cash flow. So we took off, I took off right under the year balance. You can write a little line that says propane, and then take off 3649.07. That's 3649.07. So our end-of-year balance, that cash on hand, should come to around $5,711.93. Any questions on that?
Yes, Jody.
Yes.
The year-end, Garcane should make an adjustment on our bill when we get our bill from AmeriGas.
Will Garcane make that adjustment or AmeriGas makes that adjustment?
Garcane will make an adjustment on what they charge the... Do you have a bill charging us per gallon?
Yes.
They will adjust the amount that they charge us per gallon to help us cover from 50 to 75% of the cost that AmeriGas is going to charge us on their final bill. But we need that final bill from AmeriGas so Garcane can make that adjustment.
Right. So whatever that ends up being later, that'll just be an extra little bonus. But right now we're sitting on about $5,700 if the categories are set to this potential by the end of the year.
I have a question. You know, the first green two boxes, the total cash and estimate?
Yeah.
$88,000?
Mm-hmm.
Now what changed that so the estimated income... And whatever, it's 76 over here on the top right.
Oh, because I don't include the manager's account. I don't include the savings account.
Okay. All right.
Oh, also on the estimated expenses, I didn't have the exact number on the divers coming out, so I estimated $2,500. I don't know if that was in the ballpark or not. We don't know yet until they come out and see if it's one day or 2 days. So anyway, we've got enough in there to cover it. We've got enough there.
It's as good a guesstimate as we could possibly have right now. Hopefully it'll be less than that, but we don't know until they get here because they don't know what they're going to have to do. So.
Anyway, so we kind of have to be, I would say, conservative now with the dollars. Like, if you see on, like, roads, there's still $11,000 left on the budget to be spent on roads. If we need something done in roads, we can certainly spend it, but let's just kind of be conscious that we have, after everything's said and done, we have about 57 or 6,000 left to spend for the year.
So this includes our payment for the truck, right?
The dump truck?
Yeah.
Dump truck, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Summer help? You still expect to put out $600?
No, but it's in the budget that we can. So it's still that pot sitting there waiting to be redone somewhere else or used. Who knows? At this point. Okay, so if there's no more questions on that, we'll go into the budget discussion. Are we good on that sheet then?
Yeah, that's, I like the way you did that.
Yeah.
Something that will change that slightly.
Okay. Woohoo! Okay, so.
I can hear you clearly, Jody, but I can't hear anybody else.
Okay, well, Larry Clarkson just handed me a check for $9,812.78 for wildlife income. So
and we had estimated $7,000.
Yeah. So we got
a boost.
Thank you, Larry.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's nice. We can add. Well, we'll add the difference to our bottom line of $28,12.78. Okay. Mike, always like adding things on. Okay, so I'm going to hand these out. This is. Now, what I did, I took the last 3 years again, of course, and worked up the numbers of what we have been normally spending. And then I put together, oh, if you'll have this. Those of you been on the board last year is pretty familiar, except for last year's wasn't quite finished because something went screwy with the computer and I got here for the day. The meeting. It's like, where'd all my data go? Anyway, so it's complete this year. So,
yeah. I don't know how to play catch.
And there should be extras. Okay, you got them.
Paper extras.
Now, I know this is a painful thing to do, and there is no really fast way to do it, but we're going to try to do it as fast as we can. And then you guys have questions along the way, stop me. The first page is the income page. I estimated the assessments based on 294 paying memberships. There's a reason for that, but just know that that's what it's based on. We go in through some of our banking income. That's all. It varies so much every year. I just listed it. It's reserve money. We're not going to count on it. We're not going to rely on it. We go down into our cabin rentals. Now, Mariah's done a really good job this year of separating these categories in QuickBooks. So I changed this sheet up to kind of match that. The other sheet was different. So we have cabin rentals, which would mean outside people coming in. Of course, your cleaning and damages fees. Member cabin rentals is just purely members that are renting. And then the next line, line 14, is when members have a guest stay for their cabin time. So we can kind of determine what income comes from where and also our pay-for-play income. Then you go through the rest of the categories are pretty much the same as last year, except where I did add on the dump truck work income, because I'm sure we'll be probably doing some of that. And
Can we pause for a second?
Sure.
Item 13, no, member cabin rental.
Yes.
Yeah, you have $4,700 on the current. You projected $8,400.
Right. But so, I'm going to predict next year for $8,000.
So we're not going to come anywhere close to this $8,000, are we?
Well, I don't know. We're full this week, and we've got more on the books, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what typically happens this time of year. You think we're done, and we're really not.
Okay.
So. Great. It could be off, but that's what I'm using from the previous year's estimates. Like, oh,
yeah, I was thinking, oh, we're done for pretty much, but no, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
but isn't the 15th of October when the upper cabins are closed?
Mm-hmm.
So it's yeah. 7 and 8
and
dark.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wait a minute. So the garden cabins staying open after the other cabins that are.
Well, yeah. November, right?
Yeah,
November,
Thanksgiving.
End of November.
Until Thanksgiving.
Okay. All right.
And then 7th to 8th are open a little bit after that if
well,
we have
no,
bookings.
Yeah, I understand
okay.
that. I just, you're going to keep the garden tap and open up just think about it. Because 9 and 10 will freeze when it goes under 20 degrees. Okay? The garden cabin will freeze if it goes under like 15 degrees. So as long as it doesn't get there,
okay. Okay, now the column that says 2018 budget, those numbers are put in from what has been the norm and what we already have. It was from last year's budget. If it wasn't in last year's budget, I have left it blank. So that's really important as we go through the expenses. I just put in what was on last year's budget that we did well with, but this is all open to be changed on the 2018, and I'll change as we go, as we talk about the categories, and update it to see where we're at the bottom line. But if you do go to the last page, which is page 6, just putting in what we budgeted for last year, we're already down to having in the black by $1,600. That's kind of low, but I think that's doable. The only other major thing in here that will be different this year is under roads. Last year, we budgeted for $9,000 for contracted services. I don't think with the equipment that we have now that we'll have to do all that. So that's a category that can be changed probably drastically. So as we go through the expenses, we can look at the stuff and fill in the blanks and I'll adjust as we go and see where we're at the end. But that's where we're standing right now without any adjustments to the road budget. Any questions so far? Okay, so moving on. We're in, okay, line 34, we're starting with auto expense. If you want to look through those and anybody tell me what other changes that we might need here or any adjustments to be made, and you guys would know that more than me. Do you want me to read them or just?
No.
Okay. So,
Jody?
Yes. Oh, I guess I have to say them because Brad can't hear them.
The if we haven't paid the Garkane bill so far this year, can I request that we hold off another month before we pay it? It will be much easier for them to adjust what they charge us rather than charge us back or give us back money.
Yeah, that's fine.
We have a due date of October
15th. We'll have Mariah call them and let them know we're going to do that.
Okay.
So we don't get nasty notes and nasty emails. Okay, so Brad, you don't have this paperwork, so I guess I will have to talk to you real quick. I have expenses for the GMC flatbed, $1,500, the 1991 Ford truck, $2,000, miscellaneous supplies, which would include oil lubes, things like that, $1,000, and the Polaris, about $200. That's all under that category. Go ahead, Kenny.
The other day we talked with Alan, and there's something wrong with the Polaris. It's running, but there's something electronically that he thinks maybe needs to be addressed. So
that might be more. Yeah, the computer's, the readout's blinking.
Oh, okay.
So with the $200, I don't know if he needed to increase that a little bit because there is an issue with it.
Yeah, I think we ought to go another 100 on that.
Another 100?
If you get in electronics and those controls, you're about 500-600.
I've got a Polaris, man. I know all that for that year. Let me look at that. When the display's blinking, it doesn't necessarily mean there's something wrong. It might be a maintenance issue.
I thought the blinking meant that the battery cable has been disconnected once and it has been put back on again, but it hasn't been reset.
Okay, anyway.
Okay.
Just to let you know.
All right. Any other comments on that section? Okay, moving on. Bank fees is nothing we can control, so we're going to keep moving on from there. Building, cabin, maintenance, equipment, other. Okay, so Joe, I sort of separated this out this year because we have that in QuickBooks now. So basically, you have the $4,000 in furnishings, $4,800 in maintenance, and $2,000 in supplies and consumables, which is the same as last year. Now, we've added on to the cabin section is the amount of the propane use, and it'll look like it'll be about $4,500. Again, that was the figure done before I knew yesterday about the, but I think that should be pretty consistent. We have the laundry at $1,800. We have the trash at $600, which is normal. And then the pay-for-play refunds, which we're going to have, and we had $400, I guess. Oh, I guess we're at $400 now. We have about $500 coming. We're estimating about $500. So any comments or input about that section?
On the laundry, how are we affected by having our big washer out here?
I would say greatly affected.
So will that change the expenses on the laundry?
So far, I think we've only had maybe half a dozen withdrawals from our bank account for laundry cash, which is, of course, way down from what they used to do.
So do we need to leave the $1,800 in laundry then?
Well, ironically, even though we've seen less cash taken out, in 2014, the laundry was $1,200. In 2015, was $2,000. In 2016, was $1,600. So, and then 2017, oh, that's this year, we're at $1,604 already. I'm not seeing that saved us a whole bunch of money. But even though we've seen less withdrawals, but I don't.
Yeah.
Should be considerably less, I would think.
I would think.
Well, we didn't get it to
when did
we get that washing machine? Till
I can tell you.
July?
But the good thing about that, too, is that we have received, like, over $700 donations towards it, so we've almost paid for it out of donations.
Wonderful. Okay, then, let's leave it.
Okay. Headquarters. The only thing that we have in there is the maintenance. I don't know if we are doing any furnishings or upgrades or ground maintenance, anything in that department. I don't know, so it's blank.
Wasn't there a question about putting insulation?
Jody?
Yes.
If the lumber and fences probably should go in headquarters category that was done to around the goat pen and playground.
Exit the traffic circle on US 68.
We don't have anything in there yet to date for that. You're talking about stuff that's been done this year already?
Yeah, they might have taken that out of the agriculture budget for fencing.
I see. Yeah, so when you buy things for fencing, like for the headquarters, we need to have that notated on the receipt for headquarters so we know where to post that to. So we can do
that
moving forward.
It was just hijacked to headquarters.
Okay. Hijacked, okay.
I have some information on laundry if you want it. Go ahead. Your amount includes the washer that we purchased.
Oh, okay.
So,
we've
only spent about 600.
Oh, okay. So that laundry figure that I had in there was including the washing machine, the purchase of the washing machine.
Uh-huh.
So we have saved about $600, you should say. Thank you, Maya.
Yeah, we've only spent 600. We saved about 1,000.
Oh, sorry.
Actually, sorry, I got my numbers wrong.
So,
all right, good.
Should we change
that
1,800?
I think if you put in there $1,000, that should be where we're at and a good target to shoot at.
We should be at right now 600?
Yes.
Yeah, that should be just fine. So let me go back to that.
Change the 1,800 to 1,000?
1,000 to 1,000?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so under the headquarters, we're talking about insulation for the HQ.
Anybody know what, do we have any proposals or any idea what that might run?
This up in the attic?
No, it's going to blow, we want to blow it in the
walls.
Oh,
yeah,
the wall?
No
insulation in the walls.
There's none.
At all.
Probably $800, $600.
Does Home Depot do that, or do we have to rent the equipment and we do it?
We can rent the equipment and probably do it ourselves. They, you know, there's no, at least as near as I can tell, when we put the camera in there.
There's no fireball.
There's no fire stop. So we have clear channels. We just got to
poke a hole in
the wall and fill them up. And the beauty of the old part of the house is, you know, the electrical was added afterwards, so we don't have electrical running through the walls or anything else.
So what do you think? How much will we spend?
I don't know. What do you guess, Larry?
$750, $800.
I was gonna say $800 would be my guess.
Let's put that on.
Put in $800. We just saved $800 up there in the laundry, so.
Okay.
Where do you put that in?
Well, I'm gonna put it under.
Ranch house.
60.
Yeah, ranch house. Other.
Or the new ranch house.
Item number 60.
No, let's leave 60 out of it for now because something else might come up.
All right.
We'll put it under ranch house other.
Under 59.
59.
So you're going to make that figure
800. Okay, on to headquarters utility expenses. We are putting a savings account, a reserve account that goes into replacing that generator when need be. So that's already accounted for down the line. The propane, I'm going to estimate the 2,000. Wait a minute. Let me go back.
So the generator, where does it figure then? You taking that out somewhere else?
Yeah, that's on, let me go to the very back end of this.
The capital,
bless you. That's on page 6 at the bottom, like line 176. It's the big ticket item replacement funds. Bless you.
Oh, items 176?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. My number's going to be off now because of the Garcane.
Yeah.
So I don't have a projection for the HQ propane. Let's see here.
liable to be more or less? Less, probably.
Should be less. That also includes, we have three tanks around here, don't we? We've got headquarters, this one, and there's another tank right here. There's three on these grounds.
Yeah, there's, there's the one for the garden
cabins,
there's the one for the headquarters.
And one for this
building. And there's not one more somewhere else?
Well, there's...
Also, Jody.
Come on, Brad. Okay, they billed us for three plus the garden cabin. Yeah. They said one around the corner of the main house, so maybe they're talking about that one.
We have a tank for the washer and dryer.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's right. That's
okay, so those three. Okay, okay. So that in ranch headquarters, propane, that's what I'm filling into for all
so
three.
So what's the position of that tank?
Oh, Jody?
Come on, Brett.
Dang it.
Hey, go ahead, Brad.
You might not have noticed, but the tank on the, behind the garden cabin or behind the ranch manager's house now is a dispenser, and so we'll be able to fill our propane bottle right there. We don't have to take them into town, and it should be additional savings.
In here either, but so far we've got without
garden 779.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, 779. Yeah.
And we've been doing that.
We haven't been, but we should.
Why should? We should.
So I'm thinking for the propane for our headquarters, I'm going to estimate 2,500. We're already. Well, I anticipate by the end of the year going to 1,500. And then we had more added on from Garcane. So I'm thinking let's go 2,500 and be safe, and then whatever we sell back for propane, we'll have to add that as an income category. That would be great. Anybody have any other comments on that, amount?
All right.
You're saying put in 2,500?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Let's be safe.
All right.
And it's only 780 now?
Yeah. But that was before the Garcane bill. But then we don't know what the AmeriGas credit is yet, but I'd rather err on the side of good luck. Solar system, there's not been any talk about that. That's on our wish list on the back page. Okay.
Well, we bought the new panels. We should include...
That's already in there.
I know, but we already bought them, but they haven't been installed. So we'll have to put maybe $400 or $500 in there and hire somebody to dig holes and put new poles up and get them mounted.
Okay, if you go to the back page, like 6, would that be solar on... Oh, I'm just on the headquarters. Never mind. All right, so how much for that, Joe? 600?
I would think at least that. If you got to dig a hole, put in concrete, and mount the panels.
All right.
How many panels?
I don't know how many we bought. I think we bought 6 or more.
Yeah.
But they're in the shed. I don't know how many there are, though. We bought them all from...
Yeah.
From 100
of the panels, probably, right? About...
That's probably good for budgeting.
600. Hey, Brent, okay. How many solar panels did we buy last year?
From Frey.
From the...
Karen Frey. Bye.
From Karen? How many solar panels did we buy from Karen?
8.
8?
Maybe you better make it 800.
Yep.
Let's make it 800, Jay.
Okay.
See, the whole program over there is pretty...
We have money left this year to do that.
Well, it's going to be a simple job. It's just getting time to do it.
Yeah. 8 panels will fit on 2 poles, 4 panels per pole, and what?
Should be.
Yes. We got the racks and everything. Luckily for us, the 2 poles that we, poles that we already have, will fit the new racks. And so we can put one rack up and put the other rack up. So
are we replacing the old one?
Excuse me, Jody.
Go ahead, Brad.
If there's anything pertinent that they say, could you please repeat it back, because you're the only one I can hear.
Okay, they're talking about the ranch headquarters using the new 8 solar panels that we got to do that project this next year. So we're going to add $800 to the solar system expense for that HQ. Okay?
Yeah, move on.
All right, moving on. Are we ever going to pay porta potty? Did they even charge us?
No. No.
So they're not ever going to charge us again?
I don't know.
Oh.
They haven't. I haven't even followed up with that.
Okay. Well,
taken.
Line 67, we haven't been billed yet, but let's put $300. I put $300 because that's what the cost is that we know of so far. So moving on from that, I did put a $30.50 yearly fee for the Skype, telephone, tools. Telephone was $1,440, tools $2,500. Anything more in the tool category? We have not. We've only used 320 of that this year. We budgeted for 500, but in the past it's been higher. But in the past it's been different. But
so why are we jumping so high up to 2,500?
Well, let me look at that. There had been reasons.
Because in the past we spent a lot more.
Yeah, like anywhere. Well. For 14, 15, and 16, it was $3,000. So if we keep with our trend of not having to replace tools, we'll be okay. But I didn't know, so I put it in there, and that's where we are.
That's
there are some tools that Joe has suggested the ranch have that it does not have.
Jody?
Yes.
I paid for the chainsaws and had them shipped back out to the ranch, so there'll be a bill coming in for that and the auger tip if that hasn't been showed up in your budget already.
Yeah, we haven't got those yet, Brad.
Okay, so those are coming out.
I think that we ought to stick closer to the 500 to 1,000 range and make it work rather than having extra in there just.
Yeah, I'm just thinking 1,000. What do you think? Yeah. That work?
That's a lot closer to reality.
Yeah. Well, it all depends on the ranch manager, really.
That's true.
So, let's go for the 1,000, and we just need to keep an eye on that as it goes forward. Okay, so changing line 70s, the tools to 1,000, down from the 2,500. Okay, now we'll need the guy's input on the next bit of it, because I really don't know. I put in what we budgeted for the last year. The backhoe, $1,800 for repair. Any input? More, less, leave it?
I have a little more info on that bucket thing.
Okay.
I was talking to Al Marion, telling him what we found and sending those pictures, and he said, you know, you ought to contact that guy you got the bucket from and just say, hey, would you exchange this or, you know, take this bucket back, give us a newer bucket. He says that is a problem. It's an older bucket. And, yeah, you could turn it around, but you have all that process of knocking out that thing. He said, and I've got the guy's name that we got it from and phone number.
What's the problem with the bucket?
It won't fit the backhoe.
If we want the narrower bucket,
we want to
reach out, the it's kind of bent up and down like this, and the bucket is, and our hookup thing is bent just totally in the opposite. You can see where you flip it, but to flip it and to use the other hole for the pin, you have to knock out the bushing that's been placed in there, and that would take enormous work and torch and everything. And so rather than us going to that extent, you can make it match, but it's a lot of work. I don't know who would make that call.
I don't know enough about it.
Who's
looking over that equipment back there.
I am, but when we bought that, we were under the impression it was going to be an 18-inch bucket. It ended up being a 24, which is wider than we really want right now. Traders get an 18. All the better.
It's like dig a wound. You're gonna dig a trench. Go ahead and dig. I very seldom ever take my 30-inch bucket off my hole, even if I'm digging a sprinkler line, because I can dig faster. Put it in, and by the time you.
Well, if we exchange, we get an 18.
Get an 18. What else does it have? 24.
We got 30 on it, I think.
Got a 30 on it.
The 30 on it. We thought we bought a 20. We thought we bought an 18, but it ended up being a 24. And it doesn't fit anyhow. We need to take it back and get an 18. That's their M.
Of a hat to him and let him copy that.
Yes.
Brad, go to your phone.
I'm trying to, sorry.
Okay.
So you know, you've been there.
You know where to go to? Do you go through there very often?
Not normally. Actually, I got to go get another load in St. George. So probably in a week or two.
If you go through there, then ask if you've got an 18, and we'll get with Larry, and then we can have Larry drop it off and bring it back, maybe.
I would need your calling for that. I'd probably take the bucket in.
Okay.
Do you understand that connection then?
Yeah.
You got his number?
I will get it.
Okay. All right, good. That's what I wanted to bring up about the backhoe. Anyway.
So, Jody, where it says heavy equipment expense projected $500, I'd like to make the suggestion that the ranch at least keep enough hydraulic fluid for each one of the different pieces of equipment. Because
when we had a line break,
there wasn't anything extra, and Joe's been asking to have that at the ranch so that you can, number one, change the fluid,
mm-hmm.
and number two, just to have extra in case there's a leak or we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know prices of hydraulic fluids, but I would have to believe maybe $500. Is that enough?
I can let him tell you what we just paid for. Well, Larry would know.
You got stuff so bad at all.
Doesn't go bad, but it leaks out.
No, I'm just wondering if we bought a bunch.
No, we'll go back.
They use 1 5-gallon for each type of equipment because they're all different.
It wouldn't hurt. It would be good to have 5, maybe even 10 gallons of all-purpose hydraulic on hand because that would be used in the grader, in the backhoe, in the even the dump truck. I'm sure
and
it
the Kubota?
Would.
The Kubota, the backhoe, and the grader all use the same hydraulic.
It won't go bad unless it's left open to the air. Oil will absorb moisture. As long as it's sealed, it'll last 10 years more.
But it's about anywhere between $40 and $60 per 5-gallon bucket.
We just paid $45.
So we have, with that many pieces of equipment, how much should we have on hand? $100?
Let's put it outside of $100 and get 2 buckets and come here. And
10 gallons. You know, you're not going to break all 3 at the same time, but I usually have 5-gallon hydraulic fluid with me at all times because when you break a line,
lose that easily.
You lose that pretty fast.
Yeah.
And we just did have a line problem 3 weeks ago.
So how much was that?
It was 45. 45 is what 10? We reimbursed Randy Fry. He brought it out to us in an emergency.
Did he say 10?
Yeah. We had to get it from somebody else because
for 5 gallons.
So,
got
$100.
Bucks.
Leland or Randy put it
in. So we got a budget at least $100 for
the bucket.
They're saying keep 2 5-gallon buckets out here. So that's about 50 apiece makes $100.
You want to keep more than that? So just $100 add on to miscellaneous?
Yeah.
And the issue is, all this equipment, the number of hours that it's been put on it, they all should be changed. besides having extra. Yeah. It has not been changed, for instance, in the backhoe, and that was used extensively on the
septic
tank.
And also
well,
for the
it just got changed
week yeah. after that.
Well, we already have
yeah.
our mine.
Well,
your guy did it?
No, we didn't do it, but they had to get, well, I don't know, did they change it? Or, I don't know what Alan did down here, but he got the fluid, he went up and he had the new hose, and he put on the hose, and maybe he just added hydraulics. I don't know.
You'll have to ask.
I believe he just
well,
added. He never told me he changed it.
How often should hydraulic fluid be changed?
The machine should have a plate on it that tells how many hours, but it's probably 250 hours, 500 hours, which is better. Yeah. I mean, you don't really change hydraulic fluid very often.
Just add. You keep adding.
Just watch it, change filters, because chances are you're going to rupture a hose and lose a bunch and add a bunch, and so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm only worried about changing the engine oil, not the
right.
hydraulic oil. It's like a Detroit engine. You don't have to. You just keep adding.
So what are we looking
well,
for here?
Well, line 79 already has $500 projected for this year for miscellaneous. I would consider that still miscellaneous, so
yeah.
we're still going to have $500 under miscellaneous, so just leave that there and just make sure that we buy some hydraulic fluid this year.
So you don't have 500 under?
No, I have that blank, but last year was, this year is 500, and we're projecting to end out. I would imagine that we would leave it about the same.
Yeah.
Okay, so put 500 in.
And then I wrote in my notes hydraulic fluid as part of that.
Okay.
So we just need to make sure we buy some.
And old tires look good?
No, we need a new tire on the grader. There's three tires are good, and one tire is a piece of crap. It could go anytime.
Ballpark on price on that?
How much would a tire cost for that?
How much were your backhoe tires?
It's bigger than a backhoe tire.
Yeah, those greater tires maybe.
We spend about $2,000 on two backhoe tires.
$2,000 on two backhoe tires?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
but
those were the big stuff.
Those were the big ones. Those were the super big ones.
Okay. So we need maybe $400. $500 for another tire for the grader.
So maybe we need to bump the grader up to $1,000 because we might have repairs in the grader this year, too?
Sure.
All right. Okay, so back to the backhoe. Anything more needed on the backhoe, or do you think $1,800 is sufficient?
On the backhoe, I think so. Well, other than the bucket won't cost that much. We already paid for it, so we're just changing it.
Dump truck. I have no idea what to put in for the dump truck. That's a new baby here, so what do you think, Brent? Or did you get to... did you drive it?
That bucket doesn't need too much.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm a little surprised that it's that...
It had an oil leak in one of the front tires going to ruin the brake shoes, other than that, because it's been parked so long. But there was no oil leaks when I checked it. When Brett and I walked up and looked under it, wasn't an oil leak one anywhere. But now that we've driven it 200 miles.
Warmed it up.
Yeah, that grease loose. You want to put $500 in there just for something in there?
I would put $500.
Yeah, I would.
You know, I mean, it holds 5 gallons of oil. It'll actually...
Almost 7 gallons of oil. 6.5 gallons of oil. Just for the engine. And we got to change the filters the next time we change the oil, but we didn't change it.
The change the oil in that truck is going
to
be
$100. Okay.
And we've already changed it before we brought it here, but I didn't change the filters, just the engine oil. I didn't want to gamble on a 200-mile drive on old oil.
Fire truck. Now, not counting what we're doing this year, what do we project for next year on the fire truck?
Well, we need to put a new carburetor on this home. I'll pick it up, and we can do like we did for that hydraulic support bracket for the backhoe. I traded that the cost of that for the using the dump truck to pull that.
We shouldn't do that. We should reimburse him the $70 for that.
No. I already used the dump truck. The arrangement was I used the dump truck to pull that container truck up my hill, and so that's my exchange.
So what do you project for next year that we need for the fire truck? Any idea?
I'm going to say $100.
Yeah.
$100?
Yeah, it's not going to be much.
Okay.
Are we licensing and registering all these truck vehicles?
Well, we haven't done the fire truck, but we are the
I don't think it's necessary to do, but that's just not, I mean that's an annual expense if you're doing it.
Right.
Now the fire truck, the truck it's not leaving the ranch.
Registering it as a farm vehicle, right?
Yes, that's what we'll be registering now.
Okay,
moving on. Grizzly is good to go. We covered the Kubota. $1,500 should be enough. Any issues on the Kubota?
Nothing
I'm aware of.
Okay, and then the $500 miscellaneous for hydraulic fluid, whatever else comes up is good. Fuel expense, I'm kind of leaving that alone. I'm thinking that's where we're going to end up. Well, then again, they have been using hardly any fuel this year. When you look at our three-year...
That can depend a lot on who you...
Exactly.
Now, you guys did get my email about the tank, right?
Metering? Did that get done?
I'm worried about that tank.
The diesel tank?
Leaking.
Okay.
And
the underground gas tank.
Oh.
I don't know if we need to do... I asked Dale, and Dale told me, I said, how long has that tank been in the ground? And he goes, well, at least 30. And then he goes, no, at least 35 years. That's just a steel tank, guys.
They make some surface things in a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just... I don't know where we stand on this thing. I honestly believe it would be worthwhile for us, just as a preventive measure, to take the backhoe over and just dig next to it. Not
roll it in, sir.
Yes.
We might as well buy it.
The teeth is bleeding.
We just need to know if we're going to move... I hate to think we're losing fuel out of that tank that's going into the ground.
Now, is this the unleaded or the red diesel?
This is the unleaded.
Unleaded.
The red diesel.
It's above ground tank.
Ground.
So.
I know this tank is the same as those other ones. The fire tank has a big, we have to turn it upside down.
What would a new tank cost?
Well, I have no idea. I don't
know. Bless you. Fuel tanks are expensive.
Water tanks are a dollar a gallon.
Fuel tanks are more like $3 to $5 a gallon, depending on what you get.
And how big a tank do we have?
That's 4,000 gallons.
Wow.
$5 a gallon.
We don't need one that.
That's a $20,000 expense.
We never buy that much.
No, we don't need one that.
But I think we should start saving
for that.
Uh-huh. Must find a way for a new tank.
Yeah,
with fuel tanks, they do make liners that you actually put inside the tank, plastic type liners. But I don't know. I could certainly ask Petra West what it would cost. They do that kind of stuff. Of course, they don't do steel tanks anymore. It's all fiberglass stuff.
We better start putting $1,000 away a year at least.
All right, I'll mark that down. We'll get to the. I'll mark it here, and we'll get to that when we get to that department category. So basically, the three-year average has been $8,000 a year for unleaded. This year, we're going to top out about $5,200, which is way less, but they don't really go anywhere. So, again, maybe on the safe side, stick with the $8,000, because that's typically what's been done. But that way, we have extra if we do, and we can spend it through the year if we have extra. But it's just a big unknown. At this point,
let's just leave it then.
All right, and red diesel, same thing. Project 6,500, and the three-year average on that's about 42.
That's a five.
All right.
Is that okay?
Is that good with everybody?
Yeah.
What line?
line 84.
Make it five.
Is the biggest use of the red fuel pump generator? Well,
I'm sorry, what?
The biggest, I guess that the red diesel, the biggest use is running the generator.
Yeah, the big generator takes 3 gallons an hour when it runs. And so I would guess that's the biggest use.
Hey, Jody.
Okay. Yep.
Red diesel's going to go up now. We're going to run a dump truck. We'll save money on contractor prices, but we'll spend more money now in red diesel.
That's right. Well, we've got $1,000, almost $1,000 above the average. And you say the average is 42. I think that still takes into account the use of the dump truck.
I think we're pretty safe though, and just change if we need to along the way.
Okay.
All right, moving on to general and administrative. Annual meeting, we collected $461. We're just going to say the budget for the annual meeting would be $500. Good.
Yep.
Board meeting supplies, it's very low.
Yep.
Keep $100. Legal, tax prep, and recording fees, thinking three.
I agree. Okay. It needs to go up from what we did this year.
Okay. Office supplies. I put 400. I don't know why, because we, let me look at the 3-year average here.
400 is what we had this year, too. And
so we just went over that because there were things we had to do.
There were some things I had to do for filing, and those things won't happen as highly. However, the printer that I have that I'm working with, the toner replacements, are about $90 a piece.
Oh, we don't want to waive it.
Yeah, there's four of them. That came from here. I don't know if Brayton's had that or not. So I can just do black, but it's still $90. That's for a long term.
Yeah,
that's for the 1,000 or 2,000 sheets of printing. So I may have to have two in a year.
We might have to go to cheaper printer.
Okay.
Do the maybe we get a. Those printers are so cheap. The ink's $45 bucks a cartridge.
Yeah.
Really nice. Well,
can do that with a regular
printer. Yeah.
Smaller.
Oh, yeah. So we'll look into that this year, that case, and that's why our printing costs are so high.
No, not necessarily. I've only bought one cartridge I had to replace.
So, 400 you think is good or 500?
I feel like 400 is fine.
Okay.
I think we should be good.
All right. I'll make a note on here about a new printer that's laser. Inkjet. Printing and postage, not much we can do about that.
Do you print a lot in black and white?
Oh.
I have came from the rehab center, the hospital, it's a commercial grade black and white laser printer that if you want.
Okay. So do you have the cartridges cost on that yet?
I haven't run through a cartridge and I've had it for a year, so.
Okay. Yeah, the cartridges
last
forever. The
ink
does not dry up.
And it's not.
That's what I have too.
It's great for black and white, and it's free. So.
Yeah. Right. If we
it, you don't like it,
if we keep this one and just replace the black, then we're looking at maybe $180 a year if I have to buy two cartridges. So it's really not maybe even going to be that much different. It's just that it's the color. This is the color one also. That's why it has. Scanning is critical.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Okay. 400 should be fine.
And then just put it in there and just print it.
Yeah.
No? The scans I'm making, I actually are emailing scans of documents and that's what.
Okay, moving on. Printing and postage. We already covered that. Reimbursed expenses, I put nothing in there. This is one of those categories that you just never know until something comes up. But, bless you, Larry, you must be allergic to the ranch.
Yeah.
Scary.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Ragweed.
Oh, my gosh. Rabbit horse. Any input on the travel expenses? I can look up and see what our 3-year average has been, but it's so not relative.
I would just leave it at where it's at.
It's at zero now. All right. Any input on that? Leave it at Zero. Moving on. All right. Security, are we needing anything for security next year? We didn't do anything this year.
Our cameras are all functioning here at the ranch.
Brent and I need a couple of weapons.
I'll put me on that list.
Need that new kind of stock that's popular?
I have no idea, but we haven't checked those cameras. Paul's the last one to check them, and that's been way back.
Do we know where they are?
Yeah.
We don't have
two
talk
of them
about
out here on the road.
Do we only have two?
No.
Well, there's a third one around here.
We bought more than just three.
Well,
I think we should locate
it. I authorized three. So I don't know how many more he's got.
I think there were some here before that, and we got the new ones. Yeah. But I don't remember how many.
But I only know where two of them are. When Alan gets back, let's locate them and make sure the batteries are up. And
yeah, let's look into it, but for budget purposes, I'd leave it blank. You know, we're not planning on buying any new ones.
Okay,
website hosting, that's kind of a given. Website maintenance, kind of a given. Our Wi-Fi provider, again, kind of set in stone there.
So is this with the new concept that the ranch house, the ranch needs an update on the Hughes event program? Is that what this is to?
Well, we talked... Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, go ahead. Cause
when we talked to Vance about it, he said, yeah, they would. There's a possibility of an upgrade, but it really won't help us. It actually might be counterproductive because of the system we've got, and he'd have to give you the details. But we're going to have to talk a little bit and figure a plan for what we are or aren't going to do communication-wise, but there's no reason to guess what we might spend or not. I just leave it what it has been historically and figure it out as we go.
Okay. Moving on to insurance, that's pretty set. We can't really do anything about that unless we shop and get better, but I don't see that happening. Okay, Brad, we're in your department here. Under livestock...
Wait one second.
Oh, sorry.
On this, you know, Vance, I saw an email where Vance was saying about a hookup to this new... it was like $60,000.
Oh,
now, the thought I had...
Fiber optic.
The fiber optic line. Okay. That's a retail... Is
Bill.
There any... go ahead, Vance.
Yeah, we have this as a separate agenda item later. Do we want to leave it for that?
Yeah, okay, we will.
And really, anything that we talk about communications right now is a giant question mark and really shouldn't go in the, you know, in the budget because we have no idea.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about it later. That's fine.
Right, yeah, that's what I was hoping for. Barry's involved in all that stuff, too, so.
Okay. All right, go on.
Okay, Brad, you still there?
Brad?
Yeah, I might have lost him. We need him for this part. Maybe we can go back to that part. But anyway, crop management, erosion control, we typically do a 3,000. We didn't do anything with it this year.
He's been holding on, waiting to see if we got that money to match with the
grant.
Yeah.
With the grant money. So because if we get it, we have to spend it to get matched. So that's why he hasn't wanted to spend it yet.
Well, and I don't know where I got 3,000 from because the last 3 years average was $735. So I'm like, where did I come up with 33,000?
When we did the budget for 2,000. $1,000. Is he back on?
Yep.
Brad, are you back on? Brad?
Yeah.
Hey,
hello?
Just out down to livestock and wildlife and talked about crop management erosion control. Where are we at? Last month we hadn't gotten word. Did you get word on all of your...
I can only hear every other word you say.
Did you hear back on the matching trains, etc., etc.?
On the matching stuff?
Yes. There's no more money left this year. We were the next bid to be funded.
And so we're rolling it over into applying for next year. So we're just moving our own.
Okay, so that's not a guarantee for next year either. So
No, it's not.
What would you like to see in crop management next year? I've got 3,000 on there now, but we're gonna have to do some makeup for that this year. Is that enough?
Most of the money that we have left in this year's budget is gonna be shifted into fences, and vice versa next year. Most of the money next year is gonna be shifted into crop management.
So if we leave 3,000 in crop management and 4,000 in fencing, that should start us off pretty good and maybe be our midway point, or it'd be enough to do what we need to do?
Hopefully we need more, like 10,000, all of it going into crop maintenance next year, and that we can catch up this year with the remaining of our budget this year. We can catch up with our fences and have some material left over in case there's something. But the majority of our budget next year, hopefully, will be going into crop management. The majority of the budget that we have left will be going into fences when we have our supplies built and the fences finished that we're working on, and we'll use the last of that money to purchase herbicide and to get a license to store that.
You just better leave everything as is.
So he's got like $1,700 left in fencing this year. We've got $2,700 left in crop management for this year.
But he's going to use all of that.
And we've got $2,000 for fencing. So he was thinking 10. That's 5. 5. 7. Got about 7,000. Yeah, 7,000 left. Good. So, okay, so we have about 7,000 left from this year's budget. He uses all
about
that.
About 5 of that, at least, will be going towards fencing.
All right, but on the estimated yet to pay, I only figured on $4,100, so that's going to take us down another $3,000. That's going to put us in the negative this year a little bit, but you're saying it's going to happen next year? I'm going to roll it over to next year.
No, we're going to take this year's budget and spend the lion's share that we have left in both and the whole agriculture budget, whether it's been slated for crop management or fencing or whatever, and we're going to spend it into fencing. It's
okay,
going to give us a stockpile of fences that we can work with next year. We can spend minimum amounts of money, but hopefully everything that we do next year we'll be getting paid to do by having them share costs all of our projects.
Okay, so Brad, when we get to the point where we're going to start buying fences, check with me and let me see what's left over out of that category for this year before we overextend ourselves, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Look for me like Monday.
Budget for his area, does it need to go up or down, or can it stay the same? Can you ask him that so he can hear you?
Hey, Brad. So your budget for next year, can we keep it the same as this year, or do we need to go up, or we don't want to go down? Do we need to go up at all?
Yeah. I'd like to have a minimum of $10,000 to do these projects without spending the $1,750 on the fish, so bump it up to at least $1,750. Or 12,000.
Well, that makes sense. Some of the road goes.
Right now he's got.
He only got 7,000.
Oh, he's thinking
budgeted for. Yeah, so he's at, the crop management's at 3, the fencing project's at 4, that makes 7,000, so he wants another 3,000 in those two somewhere. Or fencing materials would be 3,000. Well, that's not part of the miscellaneous.
Sorry.
Yeah. That's just a total ranch. So if we add 3,000 on to fencing material, that should give him the 10,000 that he wants, and then see how it works from there.
If they fund us, we'll be in the neighborhood of 40,000. If they pay 75% and we have to pay 25, we need 10,000 in order to aggressively attack our funding money.
Let's do with that.
We are talking about a category that traditionally brings in $20,000. We budget for $10,000, and historically, the last 3 or 4 years, we have barely spent half of it. All the money out of that budget gets spent into other areas.
It is, it's been spent, but we don't have it.
I can't hear. Hey, but Jody, if somebody has a comment or a question, then Jody, you're going to have to.
Okay. We're going to add on $3,000 to fencing materials just so it's in the category somewhere, and that'll make your $10,000, not including the fish, the grazing fee, and the petting zoo. So right now we've got you at $10,000. We'll still have to determine the bottom line when we're done, though, okay?
Awesome.
Good.
Thank you.
Harry?
Yeah, let's just do that. Let's move on.
All right. The miscellaneous is for total ranch miscellaneous. I think $1,500 will cover it.
Does it really matter? Here, all we have are some chickens, and we have to have some cat food. The 2018 budget's gone from current $230 to $750. Do we need to have it that high?
No. Again, it depends on...
You have other animals, you might.
But right now, no.
Okay, but I mean, it increased so much. Yeah.
But he's just using all of that in different ways. So.
Okay.
I wouldn't subtract anything. I just.
Oh, brush hog maintenance? I don't know. I put $500 in there. I don't know what that even is. That for the machine to do it? I'm not sure what the $500 is for.
Well, we bought some parts last year, but we got them already on now, so I don't.
That probably is in the wrong category. It probably should be...
That should be on the equipment.
Yeah. Should I leave anything for the brush hog, or...
Well, leave it there. We can always put it someplace else.
No, I mean the dollars on it, the 500.
Yeah, that might be one of the places you have to deduct when we are over, when we get to the end.
If we don't leave it there, we'll put it on the backhoe, so leave it there.
Miscellaneous repairs, I don't know what miscellaneous repairs, but we've had most of them covered, miscellaneous supplies. I don't see that we need any of that.
Jody?
Yes.
The brush hog needs some welding and some steel plating on it.
Okay. We're good there.
The miscellaneous for $1,400 this year included some training time, included advertising for the position.
So, we're talking about the miscellaneous category. It included some training time, some training fees. It included the posting for the job online. So, maybe we leave that at $1,500 and just move on from there. Good? Okay. Moving on, payroll expenses. We already know about the caretaker salary, the secretary salary, summer help. And the rest are taxes, payroll expenses that we really, there's going to be some change on 125, line 125 and 127. I'll have to deal with that with Mariah during the next week or two and figure out what those numbers are. Been a little bit messy a few years. So moving on to the next category. So should we put that under wish list? Okay.
What? Right. What's that?
That was talking about setting aside money for a retirement fund, and we're going to move that to wish list and talk about that in executive. We won't be putting it on the sheet right at the moment. Okay, so the big category of roads. The BLM fee, paid in 2004, it should be coming up next year. It should be about $500. Remember that about right, Brent? And
are you asking me something?
Yeah, Vance, the Title V fee every 4 years is about $500.
I don't have that in front of me. I'll have to get back to you on that.
Okay. Well, I had to get it from somewhere. I think it was. If it's different than that, let me know. Otherwise, no biggie. Contracted services. Like, here's the big one. So $9,000, and we've got all of our supplies now. How much do we want to reduce that, if any? Okay. All right, so Phil thinks we need to move the 9,000 of contracted services to culverts, but keep this in mind at the very end, we can go make adjustments if we're over.
What?
What is Larry thinking?
All right, so we're going to move, we're going to put contract services at 5,000, and we're going to move culverts at 8,500.
That's
better. What about road grading? Same thing with that, or are we? We might need Brad, do you have your mute on?
60 hours.
Sounds like a water tank.
60 hours at 25 hours. $1,500. Was 4 hours of that yours?
No, that's total. That's
total
ranch.
Ranch,
yeah.
That was my question.
60 times 25 is 100, yeah, 1,500, yeah. And there's still more that needs to be done.
Yeah, well, we haven't been able to scratch the road yet. We scratched over there and the machine broke down, so we got some nice scratches over in the slide area right now. And the machine broke down. So
what are you thinking for that category?
Well, I'd
double it.
Leave that at least, if not add more. But
which one? Grading, yeah.
To 5,000, see where we end up?
Yeah.
I see some cutting going on when we're at the end. Okay, source supplies. This one, again, depends on who's working. Typically, we've sold more than this, and $2,400 would be a reasonable amount, but we haven't done a whole bunch in it this year. Can you tell me what our sales are?
Yeah.
Can I ask one more question on the road thing there?
Go ahead.
I missed something here on contracted services.
On contracted services, it went from 9 to 5, and but they added that 4 to the culvert.
Okay.
You're looking at the
same
staff,
amount
right?
of money
on the store, and I'm looking at the other thing.
Yes.
But then we added.
That slipped by me there.
But then we made the culverts 10.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We went to 10 to 85.
Yeah.
Oh, we did? No, I got 85. Really?
Are we at 10 or 85?
Make it 10 and let's see where
we are. All right, we'll make it 10.
Well, we're way under on our roads.
come to that conclusion more lately.
Parts of mine.
Okay, back to store supplies.
The only thing we've really purchased for store supplies is just them, those, like soda pop and candy bars and those things. We haven't had any purchases this year for T-shirts or hats.
Right.
So that $442 consists primarily of soda, candy bars, a few, like maybe a bug spray here and there and that sort of thing.
So we're up to $400 now that we've spent, $442?
Yes.
And we've made we're at $1,300 for income. So we can probably bump that down to $1,000, maybe.
I think
depending on who's running it, too.
Yeah.
And we have enough hats to get through the year, and we have enough shirts to get through the year. So maybe $800?
Yeah.
$800 on store supplies?
Once, twice, so.
We're making 100%. Well, okay. Let me change that. Bless you. Man, Larry.
They may have bought Benadryl.
I've taken every kind of stuff.
Have you?
Hey, taxes are pretty much are what they are.
Same with Blaine. So sorry.
Taxes, that whole category, you really can't
change. No, that's the same. So we're down to water resources.
No, okay, I got one of them back
up. We've got our annual dues to pay. Why did I put $625 in there?
What annual dues?
Because, well, I know we're at this year. We're only at $295.
I don't know.
Oh, I know. Because we had some extra things last year, and that would bump it up. So I think we're $295 for that.
Yeah.
Yes, that was our last year. Missed that.
Did you adjust that amount?
I did.
To what?
So you guys on line 150, mark $625 down to $295. Hopefully the dues haven't changed much. Water testing fees pretty much are what they are. System maintenance and repairs. We have the blanket $2,000. And then we have the HQ lower. I left those empty. We don't know about the 40,000-gallon tank. I'm going to need some help on figuring 154 to 157 here. And what we think.
Who gets to talk first?
You do.
Okay. Something that is not a wish list item is the stuff we're going to have to do to avoid the $2,500 tank cleaning expense from now on. One of those things is removing all the dirt from around the tank, having it sandblasted and painted, and piling way more dirt around the tank. Got a quote for doing that back when we had the tank interior done. It was about $3,000 in 2009-2010. I probably count on $3,500 to get the tank outside painted and re-burned.
Okay, so $3,500
and $30,000 tank. Yeah, and we'll get a quote on it from the people that gave us the quote last time. And in addition to that, we need to weld another outlet on the tank end so that we can drain it nicely and better. And the Houston people will have to get inside at that point and repair about a 2-square-foot area of the epoxy for another few $100. I am thinking we're going to spend $4,000 on our sorely neglected tank.
Okay.
Barry, what do you think?
I was going to say $5, but...
Go for it. I'm all over that.
And part of that can be used for the upgrades there as well, but that's...
Well, how about if we do, like, 4,000 in the 40-gallon, 40,000-gallon, and then put another number in the upper system, and then we can have the three to do the two?
That's fine.
What do you think in the upper system?
$1,000.
You get with that too? There's $1,000 on the maybe?
Yeah, I'm not sure that we have adequate access to the upper tank to even clean it. I don't think the hatchway is big enough. I can't remember, to tell you the truth. We may have to, I don't know what we can do. At the very least, we're going to have to drain it and chlorinate it before next year.
Okay. All
right,
we'll put it out and then look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That covers. Oh, what about the H2 lower water system? That's the thing.
Yes,
all right, that's the same thing. Combine those.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, anything else? Okay, so the other question is that what that was in there?
It is. But that's about what we've been spending. We're going to work on getting some other, like, clean out some of those things done, but I'd leave the budget at what it is, $4,000 for now.
And are we looking at any water, new water storage tanks? I didn't know if heard anything about anything like that, or
hopefully not.
Yeah. Okay. Water training expense, something we've had on the books for since Paul took that course.
I'm anticipating taking the course and becoming certified if I can pass the test. But the total cost there should be about $150. It'd be great if you left the $500, but that's about what it's going to be.
Well, I think Joe wants to take it, too, or something. Or, Joe, you still want to take that?
I wanted to, yeah. Was that be in February, you thought?
That's when it is. I also found there's a possibility of self-study, and you can take the test online, and that's what I'm planning to do so that I can get it done before then.
Keep me in the loop. I'd like to do it if I could.
The online cost for the online test is at $130, and then the study materials. But I'm still working on that. I have a binder and putting together a study material, so I can share that with you.
Why don't we leave it 500 and split it between?
That's fine.
Anything else underwater that we need to look at the moment? Okay. Moving down page 6, we're on special projects. We're still reimbursing Phil. And let me get down there. Okay. And then we have our categories of where the big ticket items to replace a savings account for them. And let me add the unleaded tank there. And then we can see where we're at. And then we can start shopping.
Hey, Jody.
Yes.
Are you guys tracking the amount of money we paid into the replacement fund categories? Do you have any idea what it is?
We just transferred it to savings. So we have $11,000 from that and last year's excess over in there now.
Okay.
This year,
because we only started this a couple of years ago. I get that. All right.
Yeah. And we'll have $3,800 that Mariah will transfer out in another week of that to cover this year. So we'll put that in there. Okay. Let's see where we're at for our bottom line. Okay, we're $11,442 overspent. So let's go chop.
Let's go look at income.
Let's not mess around too much with income. That's just not guaranteed. I don't think we can mess around with income, Phil.
Well, what do you project for the...
backhoe, dump truck, grader, and Kubota work income. Or
no,
gravel
I'm talking pit. About people paying their dues.
When I did the assessment, we have 304 lots. Four of them are association. One of them is a non-paying lot. And then we had that behind. So I got us down to 294 that I think pretty sure will get full payment. Should be. I don't think we can go any more than that.
How much do we have outstanding that we anticipate collecting?
I can give you that in just a minute.
The 294 is taking into consideration the core association lots and then the board members.
No, I didn't even count the board members. Thank you, Larry. So we're still a little high on that. So
just a general question. Why is the association, why are we keeping the lots?
Their savings plan.
Because we tried to ask if we could sell them or not.
And we have to have 100% vote to sell those common property.
According to who?
According to our bylaws, our covenants and everything.
Common area, I agree with that. But individual lots that were owned by someone else at some point
in time? No. Those lots were owned in common. That's four lots.
Okay. They've never been. They weren't.
There are four. There are four lots that belong to the association
from the beginning.
Part of the original 2,020 acres that common.
Yeah.
One of them Podunk, two in Crawford, and one in
Lycoming. I tried years ago to look at.
And it, but is that 100% vote or just a?
100%.
I mean, 100% happen. Yes. 100% unanimous or just 75% vote.
When you get a sec, let me talk to this a little bit. Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
So we sold a lot. I think it was in 2005. Everybody remember that? What a big deal it was because the check was missing and all that kind of stuff. How did that go down?
That was a lot.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
But do you remember where the money went?
Just into the fund.
Into the fund?
Into the budget.
Okay.
Into the fund.
So what I was asked to look up and see whatever happened to that money.
That was a long time before that.
I think it was in 2004.
Oh, that was before that.
We had a meeting here, and we were discussing how we were going to spend that money. And the majority of people had thought we would put it into refurbishing the old barn. So that's what I'm saying, 2003, 2004, somewhere around there.
I think in 2004. I think it was before that. I don't remember.
I don't think you were here.
Either way,
I was five.
It sounds like it's a non-issue.
Yeah.
All right, so I estimate about $20,000.
Okay, so we have an estimate from Mariah that we may be collecting this within the year $20,000.
That's what would be allowable to collect.
Well, we haven't tried collecting in the past, but now we are full bore ahead on legal proceedings to collect that. So I bet we collect at least half of that.
Well, from what Larry just said, I forgot about taking out the dues that we don't pay, so that brings us to $137,750. Now, that's not accounting the past dues that you're just talking about.
What is your feeling, Mariah and Barry, is of this outstanding? Mariah's saying we have $20,000 that we're currently trying to collect on past dues. What's everybody's feeling? How much are we can we?
That's between three people.
No,
this is three big ones. The two or three big ones.
Yes, and then there's several that are
that little stuff. They'll pay, but and I counted those.
That, no, I, that 20 does not equal those three. There's more in the 20.
Oh, what is the three that are
that
could
be
going into elections?
So 20 is total. I'm speaking 20 is total.
Yeah. Although the little things will be paid, I'm sure those will be paid. They aren't past due besides the little stuff.
Some of them, I think, are going to come up that way. There's 11, 12. I don't know how my agent can reach you. 16.
Oh. Look at
17.
17,000.
There's more than three. There are probably five that are over, that are within the category.
The problem is, in answer to your question, the problem is we're in October.
Uh-huh.
And by the time we approve the firm moving forward and get an action filed, you're not going to see any of that money before January.
We have to be looking for next year.
Well, and I'm just, it's I don't, I mean, you should be able to collect 80-90% of that. It's just a question of when.
Is it realistic to think we'll collect 50% of it in the next year?
In the next year,
mm-hmm.
I think you're going to collect 80 or 90% of it in the next year,
okay.
Just not by the end of this year.
No, yeah, we're just trying to project now for what we collect next
because
year.
It's secured. Because if they don't pay, then you have something to take away from them, mm-hmm. and turn around and sell. We should collect most, if not all of that.
So 90% of 20 would be 18.
Okay, you're being way more optimistic than I am. I'm based on 80%, Phil.
Okay, 80%.
And add on taking off the board. So, okay, well, that's
the right question there is what Barry said, is where it's secured against something. As we were emailing back and forth on some of these delinquent accounts on, well, should we cut a break or should we make a discount on that? This, you can go to any business in America today and get a discount on what you owe them because they'd rather get paid something than get nothing. But they have nothing to do. They have no security. This is a different situation where
we have the property.
And so 80%
is conservative.
Time, but you're going to get that.
You're going to get the money. It's just a matter of whether we choose to pursue it and when and how long it takes. It's not a matter of if.
So that would bring us up to $151,350 as income that we're going to project then.
Okay, so
let's go with $150,000.
Okay, where does that leave us?
No, make it 152.
He's going to donate the extra.
Yeah, I have a question. Sorry, I'm standing up. I get a little cold in shape.
Okay. Well, they have their back for me, so they couldn't see me. On a deal where we file a lien against somebody because for non-payment. And of course we have to foreclose within a certain length of time, I'm sure, after we file the lien.
No, that's a mechanics lien, but these liens are voluntary liens, and so no, you don't have to. You have 6 years. If you haven't collected in 6 years, the statute of limitations runs. But it's not like a mechanics lien where you have 90 days to file.
Okay. And having done that, if we file a lien on it, now, does that mean it has to go up for sale and we have to be paid for that, or do we acquire the property?
Okay. You can either wait until they sell the property and then they're going to have to pay you to clear the lien, or you do a sheriff sale where the sheriff takes that property and sells it at an auction, and if nobody outbids you, then the association will either end up with the property or with whatever the proceeds of that auction are.
Okay. Thank you.
So where do we end up, Jody?
Okay, so now we're at a plus of $1,500. Bottom line.
All right.
A little narrow for me.
Is that? Are we done? Did we finish the budget?
I don't think so.
Let's finish the budget.
I mean, that's really close to me.
Question for Jody when you guys have a break.
We're just trying to see if we finish the budget.
Am I the right color again?
No, this is part of it.
Okay, go ahead, Vance.
Jody, line 101, do we really anticipate our insurance going up $3,000 more from this year to next?
Well, good catch there, Vance. Okay, let me see where I got that from. Hold on here. Let me see where that came from.
Well, I just thought maybe you guys had gotten a nasty gram from auto owners or something.
No. Let me see where I found that from to know before I give you an answer.
That's just what we had budgeted last year.
Okay, well, that was just in there because that's what we budgeted last year. So, good catch. We can fix that. I'll feel so much better.
Yeah, I knew you would.
All right, let me change that here.
$5,000.
Yeah. Okay, now the budget's livable.
Okay.
Wait a minute.
Then I would move that we let Jody put in all these figures in officially, print us out the new massage budget.
Wait, before you go there, did you not want to address the backhoe, dump truck, or greater work income?
We should have some income produced from those and keeping equipment.
Yeah.
We should. So we should put something in there. But I didn't know what. I didn't even know where to start on it, so I didn't.
Well,
150 each one or 200?
No. 500, I think.
We think that's going to happen, but it...
Well, now that we got a truck, I think it'll happen more.
Oh, okay.
Because you can haul stuff, and you can move it around, and then you can grade it.
So you're thinking 500 for each? Okay.
Yeah.
Dump truck, 500?
That's really not a lot.
No.
Grader work, 500?
Yeah.
Gravel pit income?
I don't know about gravel fit. Maybe. I don't know.
So I'll leave gravel pit just as a reserve.
Yeah.
So we have grader work 500, dump truck 500. Okay. Oh! Oh! We also...
Total income...
Oh, for the year.
Oh, okay. That's why I say that's not very much.
I have rental on my brain here.
Well, and there's one more income category that we had there last year. It was $300 with the water hauling fee. And we're charging $50 a year for people that haul, and I think we're going to lose John off that and Joe. So I'm going to put that in there as $200.
Okay.
That's line 26.
$40.
No, it's 50. It's 50. Y'all paid 50. All right, so let's see where our new bottom line's at. Drum roll, please. Okay, I'm not telling it out loud because Joel just wants to second. Okay, we're good.
Okay. If other things were good, we're good. We're going to take a half-hour break for lunch and come back to the agenda. Sorry, you guys over there on the phone. We can't send it on the line.
I'll eat Nancy and then I'll eat Brad.
Okay, if we can get around.
So at least you die after a good meal.
Yeah, that's right.
You gotta go.
Okay, on our agenda, we're now down to item number 4, legal water. And so we'll turn it over to Barry.
Okay. I think it's just that the water part is just basically an update. I think everybody's up to speed that we have had water test quality fail on the system down here. We have signed an agreement to have some guys come out and clean the tank. That was supposed to happen today, but I didn't hear. They tentatively scheduled it for today, but I'll follow up with that. But I think as a regular ongoing process, then I and the Water Committee are going to work on setting up a schedule for regular routine maintenance. I think we've waited way too long in addressing issues with the tank and the distribution center that we can't afford to do. And so I think we've discussed a couple of ways that we've already discussed as far as upgrading the tank, putting in a drain that will actually drain the entire tank, and we'll have to do annual maintenance on the tanks and the systems from now moving forward. Otherwise, we're going to spend a lot of extra money in fixing problems that never should have come up in the first place. So I am working on gathering study materials and anticipating taking an online test here in the next couple months to become certified, just so that we have that taken care of. We do need to retest down here again by the end of the month and show a clean test, and I don't want to think about what might happen if we don't pass. So we're working on it. It's just a matter of having everybody up to speed on that. There is one other issue that I thought was on the agenda. As far as legal, I did get the revised retainer agreement from Jenkins Bagley. And it's still the part that I was concerned about their ability. Well, let me just explain it so everybody knows. They're willing to collect for us on unpaid assessments on a $250 setup fee, and then they'll collect everything for free, basically so they collect from the lot owner whatever the legal fees are. That's great, but they added into the retainer agreement that if they can't collect in their own discretion, or if they don't feel like it's worth it, then they can charge the association $400.
If they don't think it's worth it?
Well, it's in their discretion. They get to decide, hey, this is uncollectible, therefore we want you to pay us $400 plus our attorney's fees.
Shouldn't they assess that before they go out trying to collect it?
That's my contention. They say, well, that never happens or shouldn't happen, but it's still there. That's my concern. What I would suggest we do, after looking at it, we have to get moving forward. We need to get somebody involved in collecting. What I would suggest we do is adopt their and sign their retainer agreement and move forward. But the first time they charge us $400, back collections and they're done. That's it for them.
Yeah. Okay.
I would give them the benefit of the doubt in moving forward. But I would if they come back and charge us, then we're getting no benefit whatsoever because we're paying $400 plus their attorney's fees. That's less expensive than just paying somebody's attorney's fees. So if that does happen, that would be the last case we gave to them, and we'd do something different. Does that make sense?
Question for you. So being an attorney, I've done these before. When they look at a file, we turn over a file to them, and they look at it. How long do they take before they realize it's non-collectible? Like, say,
that's what I asked you.
They should assess it from the beginning, yeah. as far as collectability and those kind of things. They won't know for sure. If this is unsecured debt, then they won't know for sure until they get the judgment and try to collect it. But the benefit here is every one of those people owns a lot. So there is security, so they never should have that problem. And they said, yeah, we don't think we're going to have that problem. And I said, well, then let's take that out, and they wouldn't. So I think we need to decide and move forward quickly, either with them and say, if we charge the $400 once and we're done with you, or we quickly find somebody else to do it. That's our options.
It's a $250 fee per case?
Nope. One time, $250.
Well, really, and if we do that and then we pay them the $250, they start doing, if they do four collections and it works out in our benefit, we don't have to do the $400. And then one out of four, or one out of eight, we kind of like can wait at that time. Okay, so, well,
I, the initial prospect of having them do the $250 setup fee and collect from the other people, there's a no-brainer. That's a better deal than what anyone else proposed. And I would move along because I don't know that they'll, but the first time they come back and say, we want you to pay us our attorney fees plus $400, then I'd say, thanks, but no thanks. We'll find somebody else on anything in the future.
I'm going to take Barry's recommendation as a proposal, a motion. I'll second his motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. One question on this whole collection thing.
Yeah.
So, Jody and I were talking about it during lunch, and that is, I think in our bylaws it says we're supposed to have first right of refusal, I think. I don't know if that's if anybody just sells their lot or if there's anything in there.
It just says for selling our lot, we have first right of refusal, but there's nothing in there as far as collections. So how do we ensure?
So rather than going to a sheriff sale where it might sell for pennies on the dollar, is there a point in which we should step in, or are we covered, or is there anything?
How do we make sure we reclaim that property?
You have to go to the sheriff's sale. You get the bid, whatever's owed, mm-hmm. which is going to be typically in the $1,500 to $2,000 range. And so if you want to, if the association wants to bid above that, we have to actually come out of pocket and pay for it. But we're just like anyone else. We can bid at the foreclosure sale.
So we're just treated like anybody else.
Anybody else. Okay. Other than our first 15, whatever it is owed, we don't that we can bid without actually paying any money.
And there's no way around that. We have to do it. We have no first rights when it comes to bankruptcies and stuff.
Nope.
All right, that was my question.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Barry.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let's move on to agriculture. Brad, I don't know if Brad's still with us. Brad, are you there?
Wait, one more.
Sorry. Hang on, Brad.
I've talked a little bit with the other members of the Water Committee. I would like to, my dad has a lot of information based on the history and where things are at as far as water, water rights, water resources on the ranch. I would like to, initially I thought I'd propose inviting him at one of these, either before or after one of these board meetings, to come and make a presentation of the history and get us up to speed. After that, I talked a little bit with Vance and with Brent, about possibly inviting him to participate on the water committee. He has a lot of background, a lot of good ideas, some that need to be adjusted, but there's no reason to waste the information and have people like me have to go back and try to figure things out from scratch. It's not really a vote item, but I just wanted to see if that would be objectionable
or whether the board would like to take a little bit of time. I know these meetings are really long, so it may be before a meeting for those that are interested or something. Have him come and kind of give us an outline of what's happened historically and where things are at as far as the water rights that the ranch, that the association owns, and what status is, because I think there's a fair amount of confusion on some items as to where things are at.
I'll give you a little past history. At one point in 2003, we had areas. And we had area reps, and I made up board members, and they had certain, you know, things underneath them, and one was water. At the time, Taylor, we divided water into person water, drinking water, and animal usage water. I think we, and Taylor Button took the, so domestic would be
culinary and agriculture.
Okay, and so Barry Button took the agricultural, and your father was assigned the drinking water thing, because he brought up the same point back then and about water rights and certain filing and claims, and he had all of that at his office and stuff. So he talked a lot about it back then, but we never got specific. Later on, people like Vance really got into all this water stuff. And I don't remember why, way back then, if Dale was offended or something, but we never got any reports or anything in the end. So I think he is really a great resource and has all that info. And if a contention from some of the past has been that he would talk about things but would never produce the documents for the association to have the documents in hand. So a lot of work was done, primarily a lot by Vance, addressing the state and whatnot. So I think we should, my own opinion is we should approach him, and we should be careful. We don't get offended, we don't offend him. And ultimately the goal should be to update whatever documents we have, whatever information he's willing to share with us. I have personally no qualms about putting him on the water committee. As to having him just give us a talk about it, I think the water committee ought to use, you guys should meet with him or whatever, and if there's specifics, then bring those to the board for us to vote or whatnot on. But the only, so I apologize for being so kind of hitting around everything and not being able to spit it quite out. But I guess the gist of what I'm saying is, we're looking for full disclosure both ways and help both ways. And I see you two as great having you here to help us do that, so we don't get any sign of other war or offended feelings or that kind of stuff. I don't want us to get into that kind of a situation. Otherwise, you know, I gladly welcome his input.
Well, and I haven't asked him about any of this yet. I wanted to talk to you guys before I did, but some of these things, this history as far as for me, I've had to go and ask. And for example, the cattle lease, and I had to talk to Dirk, who was there. I talked to Ben a little bit. I talked to my dad, just because I haven't been around enough to know the details, and it's helpful to have that resource. And on water, then then he has a lot of information, and it's a matter of can we convince him to help share and participate in a positive way? Mm-hmm. Well, if not, then we can, at that point, say, okay, this isn't working. John, you got something?
Yeah, Phil, they'll come to me late last 2 weeks ago, and he talked about water. And he had a couple concerns, and he wanted to talk to me about it. One of them is water, and he talked about the water. He knows where all the water is out there that's available, and he talked to me about water that we should and could be using for the benefit of all out there. If there's some of the resources that he said this to me, I'm willing to call him here and give up a lot of good information that I have to share with the ranch. Emphasize that I have a lot of good information on file, and he wants to share that with the grants and see what we can work out. So he did talk to me about that. That in turn, we talked about things about 2 hours at my place.
Well, I think the key is we've got to get some specifics from him.
Yeah.
And he said
he has that, and he's willing to share it.
And then the next question is, where do we, your house, where do we store all of our so-called permanent records? One time we used to always keep them, well, one time they were all in Knabbit, in Dale's office, and then we tried to retrieve and have a bunch out here in this place, filing cabinets in one of the back rooms or whatever. But we went on for years and years not being able to get everything out of Knab. So right now, I mean, the question is, how secure, you know, in this day and age, we should be scanning and keeping electronically these things. And so that brings up a whole other way. What are we doing?
And that's the process that I anticipate him being able to help us with. The key documents are all available from the state, but you have to know where to go. Vance has done a great job identifying a lot of that stuff. So the documents are important, but not the end of the discussion. But I think we should have our own set of documents in the ranch office that Mariah keeps. She's the permanent person here, and so that they're available. And what he can help us most with is documents, but also an explanation of what they are, what they mean, and I just anticipated that would be a good move for us to take advantage of that resource if we can and if everybody's okay with it. So
how does the rest of the board feel? I again kind of tend to want to put, because our meetings are long.
So I was going to say is I know it would be beneficial, but I know I don't have time in my life. That's one of my negatives of why I didn't even necessarily want to be on the board is, I mean, it's fun to come and hang out and have a nice lunch and see Brent every once in a while, but there's 20 other things I would rather be doing today than sitting and going over this.
Yeah, that's why I
go over history of water again and again and again, even though you learn something new. Whoever's on the water committee should be the ones that do that.
That might want to come to the board make motions
with
on it.
With a
yeah.
condensed version yeah. of this two-hour discussion, here's the highlights in 15 minutes. This is an action item that we can take as a board that benefits yeah. the ranch. Vote yes or vote no.
I'm right there with you, and that's why I said it the way I did, too.
Yeah.
That I would rather have the water committee condense this down into whatever proposals we might need or
actions.
I know
some of the frustration in the past, and I see still going on in the future, is when my dad has an idea or information, and he can see the overall, this is what would be great and would benefit everybody. That's true, Dad, but
each
one of us have our lives, yeah. and we're a volunteer board, and we're not working here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to accomplish BSROA exclusive things. So this is something that may take 15 years to happen, and in his time frame, he's thinking, well, this should happen now. So, I play that role every day of the things that have to happen now and the things that are going to take a little while. And
okay. This job, and so I can't do that job. And well, I would suggest, I mean, I know that it is beneficial. I don't know who now is. Do we have a working water board, yeah. Water committee?
We water board everybody.
Listen, you don't have to go to Guantanamo Bay. All you have to do is come to my dental office. I waterboard people every day.
Yeah, I think as long as nobody has an objection, like I said, I don't know that it's a voting matter, but I want the board to be aware. And if you're all right, we use him as a resource.
Everybody feel good about that?
I'm good with resource. I'm just, you know, I want to see documents and...
And have the water committee.
If you get the documents, I'm good. Rather, trust me, they're coming. I want to see them.
Well, all I can tell you is that would be my focus is getting the information and the documents. I can't guarantee, nor do I control anybody, but unless we ask, we're not going to have any opportunity to get them. And I think we
the information he could provide is unbelievable. We could use it, but we need to get proof in our hand when he hands it to you.
So, Water Committee?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good for it.
Okay.
Thanks for giving us a preview here. Okay, we're not sure if Brad is with us or not. Vance, so we assume you're still with us. Is that right? Do we still have our connection?
Yes, we do.
Vance? Brad?
No, I'm here, Phil. It takes me a few seconds to find the mute button. Brad dropped off at 12:20 and he hasn't been back.
Okay, then on his portion, he basically... We spoke about
I can address a couple of this because
okay.
They're mine as well.
Okay.
I met with Doug Hunt. We went over the cattle lease renewing it. He gave me some suggestions. I put those in place and sent it back to Doug. And then I met with him again after the annual meeting and discussed some additional changes. And I put those in place and sent to Doug. So I'm waiting to hear back, but. Jody's also had a discussion with Doug in the meantime, a little bit. The extension of the agreement, I think we're pretty close to having it in place for the 10 years so we can qualify for the grant funds. There's still a bit of a question that Jody discussed and if she wants to share as far as what we didn't do on the previous agreement. I didn't go into a lot of detail with Doug on that because he was willing to wipe the slate clean and say, let's let bygones be bygones. He did show me one place that there's a fence that needs to be built. And I've discussed that with Brad. That's part of what he wants the funds for fencing between now and the end of the year. So I think we can get that taken care of and basically wipe the slate clean. And we don't know him, and he doesn't know us other than the normal annual $12,000 payment. And my understanding from my discussion is Doug's happy with that. We've added his ability to use cabins if they're available from time to time and some things that benefit him. I push strongly to try to get the association out of from under the obligation to haul water when it's necessary. But he said that's an absolute must. That's a deal killer, so to speak, because he at his age can't... You know, when it's necessary, can't haul water out. It's mainly out here on Deer Springs Point. And so he was willing to not try to knock down his payments from $12,000 to $10,000 like I thought he might. He kept them the same. And so in the draft, it still says that we will haul water as necessary.
And we are going to get paid for this last year. Is that right?
Yeah, the payments will continue uninterrupted.
Okay.
As of right now, we're still functioning under the old agreement. The only change related to payments is he wants to pay the entire payment in the fall rather than half in the spring and half in the fall. Because in the spring he doesn't have money from calves. He will take the calves off. And I said, we need more money in the fall because we're getting assessments, the bulk of the assessments in the spring. So a lot of those things were kind of pretty easy to discuss and work through. Once I get his final feedback, I'll share the agreement with the board to look over, and then you can tell me if you have any heartburn over anything. But I tried very hard to keep the agreement exactly the same as it was before to the extent possible. I personally would have probably started from scratch because the original agreement was pretty skeleton, bare bones. But we know Doug. He knows us. I think it does the job and covers the thing. I don't know if you have anything else
to add. Yeah, I was talking to Brad a little bit about it because I was really baffled by the whole thing. I was wondering, what did we not fulfill in 2013 that's now being brought to the table? I'm like, why wasn't it mentioned before? And I remember the incident happening, and I remember asking Ben a few times, had it been done before our contract was up? 2013 was the year it was supposed to be completed. So, and Ben said, yes, it had. And at that, this point in time, I don't remember the board, but it was that board. So I'm not sure if Ben just didn't follow through to check to see if it had been done, or if it really just hadn't been done. And after talking with Brad a little bit more about it, he goes, yeah, Doug was upset because two parts, we had three stipulations in that contract of the fences that needed to be up to standard before the contract was valid, and then they didn't have to, they would pay the extra $2,000 a year. So two of those three things were not done. And I was like, well, I don't feel right about that as a board member at the time and as a board member now. If we didn't fulfill the obligation to get it done, we need to make that right somehow. So he goes, well, Doug kind of would like to have that happen too, but he's willing to let it go. I said, well, I'm kind of not comfortable just letting it go. I think we need to do something to stand up behind our agreement with him. I think that's just part of ethical business practice. Whether he wants to let it go or now or not, we need to make it right. So I said, well, look, you know, if that's the case, and give me specifics, Brad. Like, ask Doug what parts were not done. And he said the part, the broad hollow and the airstrip have had a fence, and we don't have it. And the airstrip and Deer Springs Point. Those are the only two that are major concerns to him that didn't get done. So I'm thinking, as a board, like Barry said, nothing changed in the new agreement except for the when he's going to pay, some small things like that. So I'm thinking, well, okay, so perhaps this year and this year's budget, and this is why I did it, like, it was so quick that it happened, so like, oh, budget's coming up, we need to talk about this, that maybe we can allot the fund to those two areas and get them done right now, right away, whatever it takes. And that comes out of our budget. It could come out of this year's budget still, but we need to a separate chunk of change to go into that part to get it done. And then as far as I understand, like, for the contract, I'm having a hard time finding it in the moment, but from what I understand the contract, anything after those three fencing projects was the responsibility of the Hunts to take care of fencing.
Well, the contract says all the three areas were to be constructed by DSROA, and then Hunt has responsibility for maintaining all of the fences.
All the fences, right.
And the one piece of fence that is in the new agreement is the division off of Deer Spring. It's one of the three that was supposed to be done before. He didn't mention anything on Deer Spring, on the airstrip area. He said, if you'll build this fence, then I'm happy. And that's what the money that Brad has set aside is to do that fence by the end of the year. So by the end of the year, my understanding is if we build that last fence, we're then in compliance with what we were supposed to do before and we move on.
I think we need to add that one other fence in there then. So the one he's talking about that you guys are talking about was at the airstrip and right there?
It's north of the airstrip. It divides off the Deer Springs
point okay.
from Broad Hollow. Otherwise, it basically divides those two areas.
And you need to be careful on the airstrip. There are, even if we're to be registered as our own private airstrip, there's some setbacks, like at least 150 feet of any fence. So
I didn't go into a lot of detail of what didn't happen before. I said, what do we need to do to move forward? And he took me in his truck, and it's basically the east of Half Moon Reservoir and runs up the field up there. So I don't know. Maybe Jody knows a little bit more, but I don't know of any. We didn't discuss any need for any fences on the airstrip.
So we're really not having usage of the airstrip currently, as far as I know. Even Tug Kangas, I haven't seen his plane there all summer, and I don't fly anymore.
So. But he just wants to separate Broad Hollow from the airstrip. So I don't know that it needs to be where it needs to be on the airstrip, but just to separate the two areas. And then the other one was airstrip and Deer Spring Point, so two different
That's the one that I just picked up there
that divides those two areas. There already is, where you hit the gate up by Half Moon Reservoir, that divides the airstrip from Broad Hollow anyway. And that should already be, I don't know what condition it's in, but there's already fence there.
Yeah.
So
it sounds to me like, just hearing both of you guys talk, that your concerns are being met except for perhaps this airstrip issue, but in the mind of Doug Hunt and our negotiator, Barry here, everything's copacetic.
Well,
you have an understanding. And you're wanting to come back in and do more than they're asking for.
Well,
because of your conscience.
Doug would really appreciate that we would do some kind of compromise with this. He has to be willing to let it go and just do this and we're done. But
isn't the fencing that we have planned doing exactly what you're asking?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the fencing that's now planned going to do exactly what you're talking about?
No, not all of it. I think we're missing one section.
You're talking about missing the airstrip section.
Yeah, but from the Broad Hollow.
No, he just said there is a fence from Broad Hollow.
Well, I don't know how far that...
You cross the gate and it goes up and would divide those, but I don't know if it runs a mile
out
there.
So let's charge... We won't solve the problem today.
We could.
No.
Hear me out.
You need the information on that fence. You need to ask Brad Hunt to tell us where that fence goes, so if you have the airstrip sectioned off or not.
Well, it really needs... And this is just a clarification. The discussion needs to be had with Doug. Brad stepped back and said, look, I'm a board member.
I'm just trying to find out about the fence if you have it.
I know, I understand that, but I think we need to either talk to Doug and Brad or Doug and get information on what is expected and make sure that that's either in the agreement, if that's what they want. Like I said, Doug didn't mention it to me, but I haven't talked to Brad about the deal at all.
Okay, so do you have a motion then?
No, what I'm proposing, I want to put this out to the board first. What I'm proposing is we basically have one-third of the agreement that was completed. There was two-thirds or not. So we just allot $4,000, which is two-thirds of that extra money that he paid in. We allot that extra to go to these two projects, and that's all. And then move forward on the agreement that we have. And then they can fix those fences, or whatever other fences they want. At this point, let them take care of it. But we allot them $4,000 from either this year's budget or something that they're not having to pay for again out of next year's budget. That's all.
Who's they? Is it Brad?
The Hunt. Because remember, we have to keep this. They're supposed to maintain the fences. We're supposed to do those three things, and then they maintain. So we have to really watch, too. Like, Deer Springs Ranch is not responsible for doing all this paying for all the fencing and all the fencing materials, they're supposed to maintain by the contract. It's still the same in the contract now, right? So how much of the fencing do we always pay for? So if Brad's going to help us on this, like, okay, we're going to do this part of the fencing, and this doesn't come out of Deer Springs' budget. This is coming out of Hunt's budget. But we allot $4,000 out of our budget to take care of those two projects that weren't done. That's what I'm trying to...
So one, Deer Springs Ranch complete their portion of what was expected in their first contract.
Right.
And anything after that, we do not go out to repair the Hunt repair because we've completed all our obligations.
Correct.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you want to allot $4,000, because that's really...
Which we already put money in the budget, so how this all works out in our budget is going to be that fine line we need to talk to with Brad about it, keeping the funds separate. Here's $4,000 from Deer Springs, then you guys maintain with your money. So this is what we have to look at on an ongoing basis through the year.
It goes a little bit beyond, not to drag this out, it goes a little bit beyond budgeting because the fences that Deer Springs is responsible for, they have to actually hire somebody to build them because the Hunts don't build, they don't have the manpower to build. So we either have to have the ranch manager build the fence, or Brad, or we have to hire Taylor Button or somebody else.
So maybe we need to change that for the member.
What's that?
I was just going to say, they just hired a member. I just paid a member some time for fencing.
As long as we have it in the budget, we just have to recognize set aside money is one thing, but we also have to actually do. The Hunts don't build. They don't have the manpower to build the fences. Brad's participated and helped, so that has to be included. And that's what I put in the agreement is we, the association, will build this fence up here by Half Moon. The only question is whether we put in the agreement or whether we just amongst ourselves agree that we're also going to do whatever they need on above the airstrip or not.
And, you know, we're responsible for the perimeter fence over at Johnny Brown, and I know that needs work on, too, and this is a good conversation. Glad to be here. So we have to pay for get that done. So maybe we need to redo the contract of that part, because if they can't build fences, then they're not complying with the contract either. So we need to make
They can maintain. Building and maintaining are two different
tasks. So they can still maintain.
They maintain. They go and fix and pull up wires after the snow knocks it down, that kind of stuff. But going out with new fencing materials and building the fence is a whole different matter, and that's our responsibility. In the contract right now, it's our responsibility to do above east of Half Moon Reservoir. The question is whether we add an additional assignment to the association over and above that.
Okay, I'm going to take each board member is going to have 1 minute to talk about this whole thing, because in my mind it's still pretty confusing. We sent out a negotiator, Barry. We negotiated and had agreements, but now there's these side concerns. There's Jody's concern about what we may or may not have done, and yet Barry has an agreement. So it's all a little bit of confusion to me, and so I'd like John, Joe, Larry, and I to take 1 minute and see if you understand what we have all just been discussing and what you feel we should do.
Well, I'm not sure about the thing that Jody just brought up. I'm not understanding that part there. I understand that Barry's got an agreement with him and he's happy with him. And then, of course, there's that Half Moon Reservoir, that section over there. There's been a man over there working on a fence, building a fence there. Has been for some time. In a blue truck. I wondered what he was doing out there. So, what's this guy doing out there? And then I find out that he's building a fence. But that's the time we had the horse.
And Brad is in charge of that problem.
Yeah. And I'd ask Brad. Brad's one told me. He said he's working for us on the fence there.
Okay, so this guy's working for the ranch on that fence.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Joe?
You know, if Doug Hunt is happy with the contract and he's happy with the fencing, other than a couple of sections, we have to honor the contract and go from there. I don't understand all of it either, so
there.
I don't have an answer.
Evidently, the last contract for whatever four-year period, 2000.
It was for a 10-year period.
10-year period.
Yeah. 2010 to 2020.
I assume they paid everything they were supposed to pay, but they weren't happy about it, or they were
grudging. Well, these two things are just missing from that.
The agreement said in exchange for fencing, and their payment's going to go up over time, and they paid the higher rate. But some of the fencing was never done.
Yeah. Two-thirds of the fencing was never done. And I can't say, before we go on, I can't say that Doug is happy with it. He's okay to go along with it that way. He's not real happy with it, but he's okay to go on that way. So that's up to the discretion of the board members, I guess.
Okay, so I'll say my 2 cents, and then I want to ask Barry one more time, and Doug, if you feel Doug is happy with it, or if Jody is... I'm not sure. Did you talk to Doug or to Barry? Or to
Brad.
Brad. You talked to Brad. You didn't talk to Doug.
Well, he was pulling information from Doug for this. But and they would both be very...
You're not talking to Doug.
...thankful to proceed this way if we can do it by...
Well, just to answer your question really quickly, I don't gauge
not my job to gauge whether he's happy or not. I said, what do you want? And he said, these are the things that I'm concerned with. And I said, I think we can do those. And I put them in the agreement. So whether he's happy about it or since then, whether he's thought about it, I can't tell you whether he's happy about it, but he was willing to agree to that.
But see, Jody, I don't think you should be saying he's not happy about it if you didn't hear it right from him. So that's my opinion that I think we should follow through with these fencing things. And my feeling is that Brad has got the guy in the blue truck. He's working on that. And we're paying for it out of the ranch. And so then when you talk about $4,000, I don't know if that's it's already in this money that Brad's talking about. We're doing a lot of fencing this year.
True.
So it's all in there. So to me, you're going around in circles, and it's all being done.
Well, I guess if we include these two projects in our projects for next year, it's all being done. So we don't.
It's being done this year.
Well, not the other two things, but one part is.
Well,
okay.
He said he's got a lot more fencing to do this year. So I commend you for your thoughtful wishes, but I feel like it's in the process from what I understood Brad talking about earlier today, and we are spending the money on it. And that's why I asked you who they was. Because we're the ranch, we're paying for it. Brad's contracting, he's getting the fences built. Whether he gets every last one, like maybe the airport thing in it or not, if we're in agreement with the Hunts, let's proceed with what we got going. And not make it an issue, I guess is what I'm saying. It seems, because in the end, if there's a motion to be made, I don't know what that motion is going to be, other than we...
Well, I don't think there's a motion to be made.
Okay.
It was more like, which way do we want to go with it?
The way we're going is the way we're going right now. We have an agreement. Brad's working on fencing.
I would prefer to not have the obligation on the association in a contract that we have to do for in breach. Now, with that being said, I think we need to start setting aside more money to building and renewing fences along the way in our budget regularly, mm-hmm. because I think they've been neglected, and I think the Hunts as a whole, if they're unhappy about anything, it's because that area has been neglected, even though there's income there. I think that was what Brad was saying at the beginning. That generates $12,000 plus in income every year, and it gets siphoned off on other things. I think we do need to set aside more money in the budget to be able to work on fences and make that better. So
and just like in these different areas that every board member has, we're coming down to the end of the room. I told John, I said, John, call your culverts. Don't leave that money there. You left it there last year. Don't. And same with the fencing. Brad, do it. Do it. Spend that money. We got it. That's why we went through this whole budget thing. Do it. You know? And that's where sometimes then we get negligent or we don't fulfill this or that.
I think we've allotted more money to fencing than we have for many years. So I think we're on the right track, and I think Hunts will see that. I mean, obviously, during the last 2 weeks, more fences have been built on the ranch than the last 10 years.
All right, so I have two concerns, Jody. I want to make sure you feel okay that we heard you. And
oh, yes, I do.
I want to make you feel like we all feel like something is being done.
I want to make sure that, and we'll know more from Brad later. He's not on. It's unfortunate. But that I just want to make sure that they know that they were heard. That's all. My job was to bring it here.
Okay.
So I've done that. So whatever the board decides, what the board decides.
I can understand Doug's frustration where he has paid his fee and paid an accelerated or a higher fee based on something, and it hasn't happened. I also understand that he's an understanding guy, and they, you know, it's a give and take, and they see
more happening now, and so I think it's probably time to continue forward with what we're planning and not. Like Barry said, I wouldn't put it in the contract to say, yeah, we are going to build this fence. Partially because sometimes if the passing of time teaches you that, well, oh, I wish we wouldn't have wasted $3,000 on a fence there because we don't really need it there. This fence does the job. I don't see a purpose of actually fencing anything around the airstrip down by the Half Moon Reservoir and across.
Well, when I was flying, I was wishing there was a fence around there. I went to land and cows were down at the end, walked out of the runway a few times. But, yeah. All right, then. If everyone's okay, we're going to move on to number six. Everybody okay?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Joe. Kevin.
All I can say right now is I think we need to get some projects for the winter to get them done, to get them set for next year. Alan helped me 3 days work on cabin two. We put the concrete wallboard all the way around the cabin, did a new ceiling in the bedroom. And I asked him yesterday, and he said to his knowledge there have been no more mice in cabin two at all, so we apparently solved that problem in cabin two.
Hallelujah.
We trapped a couple of them in there, and
first time in 20 years.
They couldn't get out, but the new ones couldn't get in, and hopefully they died of old age. So if it did work, and I think it worked, because my cabin's built the same way, and I don't have any in mind. I'd like the winter project to be cabin 7 and 8, and maybe 4, or at least a portion of them until the weather gets too bad. So I'm looking forward to trying to do some of that. The brush hog fix, we need to get fixing the brush hog actually working now. And I understand it that Brad has stopped Alan from doing it because if you do it at the wrong time, you throw more seeds out than you do good. And he wanted Alan to hold off, but I don't know when that's going to start. But the brush hog is ready to go. There's some more repairs I could do to it, but that's not stopping it from doing its job. So I need to get with Brad to find out when we can start brush hogging.
What are we talking about that?
Question, is a brush hogger, like, can you mow pasture with a brush hog? Is that a cutter?
It's a cutter, but it's mainly for me.
It's made sturdy to cut sagebrush. So will it cut grass?
Yes.
If it's really thick grass, it builds up so much fodder in there. The bigger brushy stuff, break
and then splinters it.
Yeah.
All it is steel arm about wide, over half inch thick, about 3 feet long, and they're spinning real fast.
So these cabins, you want some
7 and 8. Two is done, hopefully. I want to start on 7 and 8 with the wallboard, and that should drop the mice. They can't get under the cabin, coming through the plumbing, they can't get in. So we can do 7 and 8 the same way we did number 2. I think we can make a great improvement.
Do you think this would be an Alan?
It should be an Alan project. I worked with him. He knows what I want, how I want it done.
And
I can help once in a while, but it's his project. Yeah.
Does he know how to make a cake or like? But Johnson is gone. Somewhere the supervisor position. How do we make sure
he knows how to do it. I just got to tell him which cabins I want done. He doesn't need to know those guys. So
okay.
He should be able to work his time in.
All right.
I also want him to redo the ceiling in this building behind us. We're coming to do one of the things we did back in number 2. Very inexpensive. It cost me $140 for the material for cabin 2. So if we can do this, it would make this room better because that ceiling is falling and stained and everything else. So I want to get that done. We need to get him to do, or start with Brent maybe and me or somebody, blowing the insulation in that, at least get a process started where we can rent the equipment and blow the insulation in. But that fireplace can't keep up with that cold winter with no insulation at all in that ranch house. So we have to do that also.
Joe, that brings me to one question. I remember reading an email that
Brent said about cutting firewood. And then I heard something about Brad, about the chainsaws, or you were talking about, well, you can use my chainsaw. Has he cut firewood? Do we have firewood?
Yesterday he was here with his two sons. They had three chainsaws going. And they got them stacked, but they haven't been split yet, but they've been cut. He's delivered them to the cabins, I believe, but I don't know because he's not here. But I don't believe they've been split. At least Brent doesn't think they have been either. He cut them in round sections and long
enough. The host has joined the conference.
But without them being split, it's kind of hard to get them started sometimes. So I don't think the work is done on firewood, no.
The ranch, we still have a splitter.
Yeah, we have a splitter.
Right?
Yeah, so hydraulic one with a gas engine. Yes, we do. But that has to be done. The insulation's got to be put in. And another winter project that I'd like to see is poles put up, the solar panels, the racks put up.
We use the same poles that exist now with the racks, so we don't need any new poles.
When we bought the whole package from Rack, and so we're going to have two poles.
So we will install any the existing poles.
New racks and new racks.
Big floods, it's probably not, but for it's 36 inch right now, and that's not big enough.
It's not big enough. It washed out again, partially, 3 days after the county prepared it, and they did. They know what they're doing, you know, and they shut some more stuff in there to make it look better. But we're going to have to replace that one.
The biggest problem on culverts is not the volume of water that can flow through it. It's the volume of trash.
Yeah.
So,
and that's what happens to that every time. And also, now we got our dump truck. See, I wanted to dump some rock in there, too, to kind of sink it a little, because that water comes down and it washes over, and I'm hoping that larger size boulders, which we have plenty of out here, can be put in there.
That direction.
So I met with Craig. He went over our website, and he did Craig Bears. And he went over the website, and he was able to get it back up and running. In the meantime, part of the concern that came up was regarding the collection of the credit card information. And at this time, because of the age of our website, there's a lot of things that aren't in compliance with collecting that credit card information, and it's dangerous. So he suggested that we ought to, at least at this point, take that off and not collect credit card information anymore. So that's the route I chose to do right now. Going forward...
Do people have to mail us checks?
No. At this time, I can call them. It requires us a telephone call, though. So they send in a request, and now I make a telephone call to them. And so it adds a little bit more time to the process. But that way I coordinate with them over the phone. So for going forward in the future, we're kind of at two options. The first option is that we can put a third-party button on the computer, on our website, where people would be able to go ahead and make a payment through the website, and they would essentially pay for their reservation. The only difficulty with that is a couple of things. One, that takes away my ability to make sure that they are current with all of their fees, and that it's appropriate for them to have that reservation. And two, if we have any sort of cleaning or anything that comes up that we damage or anything like that, I don't have a recourse to be able to bill the credit card for that. The second option that we have is for us to do email invoicing with a credit card button. The pros to that is it gives me the ability to take care of those two issues I just described by sending invoices that they could pay now, essentially, with a button. The negative to that is it would require us to pick up a different credit card processing company, probably through QuickBooks would be the most sensible one, I would say, just because we're already using the software. However, part of the advantage of us moving to this other credit card company was it was about half the cost per transaction that QuickBooks would charge us. So QuickBooks would be looking at like 3.3% of the transaction plus 25 to 30 cents per transaction. We're currently... It's not only if we want the control to have that control.
I think the other two are deal breakers for us. We need you to be able to know whether they can make the reservation.
Right.
We need to be able to discuss. So without, we can't do it that
often. Yeah.
Well, and the reservation fees that we're charging are, they're not thousands of dollars. They're like, you know, whatever. And
yeah, $50.
3% of $50 isn't enough to blow your nose on.
That's true.
The only other thing is the option that does open up, if we do utilize QuickBooks, which I think would be a great way to do this and maybe help us with getting our assessment payments, is that's also another option that I could use to assess every year. I can send an assessment invoice with a pay now credit card button, and they could pay with their credit card. That may encourage payments to come in sooner. Mm-hmm. But there again, 3.3% of $475 is going to be significant. So there's two ways to take care of that. One, we just budget in. We're going to be spending this much out to offer the convenience. Or two, we charge a convenience fee for the credit card and amount
above
this
amount. Everybody I know of basically says, okay, if you want to pay by credit card, it's an extra $15.
Yeah.
And they cover the cost of the convenience fee.
Yep.
And works to them.
Yeah, you know, most people want to do that.
On all of different websites and stuff like that, but it's not legal for a MasterCard Visa, but somehow they do it anyway, and I guess it's a matter of until you get caught, you can do that, because you're not supposed to.
They're calling it something different, because I had the same issue, because I thought, wait a minute, it might, because I do things over credit cards.
Convenience.
It all told me I cannot charge anything extra
for
taking a credit card.
Right.
So by calling it a convenience fee,
yeah, you're calling it something different. Government entities are exempt, so they can charge an extra fee. You can't charge extra for using a credit card, but you can charge a convenience fee. At least everybody does.
Does nonprofit give us any sort of disclaimer there? No, not even
just
that.
Just government. Like, if I want to pay my property taxes or anything like that on a credit card, then they're exempt from that rule. So
to move this along, can we feel good about authorizing Mariah to use that second option?
Yes.
I'd make a motion to do what you said to do.
Okay, I second it, and we all agree?
Can you write that down?
Okay. You got it.
Email invoicing?
So it'll be done through email invoicing. So essentially, so the process then would be as a member would send in a reservation request, just as they always have, without including any information. It's not even an option right now. They just have to send in a request. I would receive that request, prepare the invoice if it's an appropriate reservation, send the invoice with the Pay Now button, and give them that 10-day grace period that we have written into our rules to receive it back with payment attached. Or they can send a check. It can be done in any way they would prefer. And that would be the process. In the case of where we have an inappropriate request, then I would just do as I do now, which is email them back and say, here's where we're at, what can we do, let's make this happen, and
How do you charge them when they break down the door or break it?
So far, no problem. But that does bring up another issue. We do need to discuss the charging of cleaning fees out here. I haven't assessed any cleaning fees, and yet I've had Alan and Theta both express to me, people are not cleaning out here. Well, let me know that so I can bill a fee. But their feeling is, well, our level of expectation is probably different, and so that I've never received information, nor have I pushed to pursue that. So far, when we've had a problem with that, I have sent a letter to the member and let them know, hey, this happened while you were there. I need to charge your credit card and requested that they let me do that in most cases. Yes.
So how are we going to get that information to them?
Well, what we'd have to do is, again, re-invoice. So if we had a door broken down,
they don't have to agree until we add it to their assessment and collect it just like any other fees. I wouldn't worry too much about that.
Okay.
It's nice if we have a credit card, but
right.
If they wreck the, if they wreck the bathroom or whatever, and we have to charge them to add,
okay.
to add it to their next year's assessment.
Okay.
The same way.
Yeah.
If I pay through my PayPal account?
Yes, it would also accept the PayPal.
Accept the PayPal.
Yes.
Oh,
we can't do the whole thing through PayPal.
Well, and maybe we could. I need to look at that. It just seemed like QuickBooks was the...
Yeah.
It's in the same site.
Until we figure...
It's in the same site. Oh, dang it.
And I've been trying your money.
I love your money.
Oh, no.
Damn. My wife came home and said, what did you buy? Something that overdrafted my bank account.
Oh, shit.
Like, what? Because I didn't have any money in my PayPal account, so it automatically drafted the checking account.
Shit.
And somebody had bought $500 Target gift cards that are discounted to $350 if they bought a bunch of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wait a minute. But it took a week to...
See, that last motion included you being able to assess a convenience fee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And did we say, are we going to just, do you want me to take the percentage of what it would be, or do you want me to go base $15 on the assessment invoice?
Because the assessment is, that's about what it is, 12 or 14.
Right. And then on regular reservation fees, sometimes we have reservations that end upwards of that $400, depending on what family reunions we have. So should we base it on an amount? Anything above $400, I will assess a convenience fee on, or $300?
No, you're going to assess a convenience fee on everything.
Oh, based on percentage?
Not based on percentage, just $15.
$15 to pay this for the credit card.
Oh, so if it's
over $400?
Well, if it goes over, let's say...
How many are over that?
If it goes over $500, then calculate...
But we've never done assessments this way.
Okay. And they can't say we're charging the percentage.
Okay. So when they try to make a reservation for $50, we're charging $65 for using a credit card? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they can send a check.
That's awful cheap.
That's how we make money.
Well, as of right now, I need to finish up some other things. So I would say probably I'll start working on this in November. Right now, it's not that big of a priority because I can
make it available.
For next year, for sure, yes.
I doubt we'll make money anyway because we're paying.
You're just paying your costs.
So you're not making money.
Phil, you're going to get people complaining really bad, the members, if we're charging $15 for a $50.
They can send in a check.
Well, what if...
That's what they've been doing all the time up till now.
Have they?
For assessments, but not for a reservation.
No, not for reservations.
It's just something we had to pay. We had to pay this, hire this guy. We had to change our website.
We did.
We've been doing all this stuff.
Well, let's figure that out and work that out through email and send it back to everybody. I think that's just too high.
No, let's work it out right now.
All right. Well, then.
I don't like
all right, well, I'm thinking, so if you've got a reservation fee for $50,
you want to
credit card company fees are going to be
$3 point something. Yeah. So.
So make it $5 for reservation.
Yeah.
$15 or whatever.
Yeah.
That's more reasonable.
They're doing $5, $10, $15 based on the approximate amount.
So $5 for reservation fees for cabin time.
$50 or under $5.
Yeah.
$10 for $100 or under. $15 for under $500.
Okay.
And I was getting a little girl was in a mess with what?
That's okay.
You said $500.
Credit card processing fees.
You have to make it back.
Oh, man.
What you don't know won't hurt you.
Did you wash your hands? Because that's
another
5%. Yes, I just did.
Okay, let's keep moving. Is that it, Mara?
The only other thing is with... that's pretty much it. The only other thing is we can look at doing a website in the future, but I don't think that's not any important issue right now. We've got it resolved what we need to do right now.
I just want to add, I want to add or ask one last thing here at the end of the meeting about the fire plan and protection stuff. And we're supposed to report any activity because I've been doing a lot of trimming and limbing and Is it the guy that gave us the report that we're supposed to report to, or the county guy, fire guy?
It was Devin Kilpak is the one.
See the new fire marshal?
No, that's Spencer.
Devin Kilpak.
He
wants to keep track of our time, and then we get credit for any limbing and fire prevention
stuff. That's Spencer. Do you want his contact information?
Yeah, do we have it on the web? Vance, do we have that stuff on the web? Okay, then just give it to me.
I will have to look. I have an email address for sure from email, so I can forward that to you, Bill, to get you started.
But that's for any member that wants to know how to do that, let's put it on our web page. In the next newsletter, we'll talk about that.
Right. No, we can add something to the web, the fire information pages about tracking their time.
Yeah.
Okay, then,
I have one more thing to bring up.
Just real quick, ATV Club out of Kanab has come out the past 3 or 4 or 5 years. They do a 4 or 5 day adventure out in the middle of nowhere. I think this week they were parked down at one of the little roadside campgrounds halfway down Johnson Canyon. They park their vehicles there and leave, and they're gone for 4 or 5 days and come back. They parked in here for the past 2 or 3 years, and I don't know if they've ever brought it up or said anything. Tony Wright, who's about to go to church with me, he said, "Hey, is it going to be okay if we park in there again this year?" And I said,
"We got about a $50 fee."
I have no idea, but they don't like leaving all their rigs out on, just out in the middle of nowhere.
So just like the covered wagon boys. What was our fee?
$100.
I doubt they'll want to pay $100, but.
What about on a per person basis? $5? $10?
I don't know. I'm asking. They just park. They've got, I think, 10 truck and trailers. They pull in and park and leave, and they're gone. I don't know where they're going out to do somewhere. They come back on the fourth day and pick up the vehicles.
So how much is their gear?
That's $10 a piece. That's not very much.
That's for the wagon train people. We just charge a flat fee of $100 after we discuss up and down how much per person and that kind of
so
thing.
So probably
these guys will be have less use. They're not coming in for lunch or anything, but just to have them.
Do we ever use our comfort stuff or our shower?
No.
Well, it was $50. For 10. Total life.
We do need a couple of plan on that.
Just park.
Everybody feel good about 50?
Yeah.
All
right, then.
I'll tell him $50. And then I guess, when will Alan be back?
He'll be back first week.
He said Wednesday.
I heard the first of the week, then I heard the 11th.
Alan told me the 11th.
I think he told me that their plan out here was the 10th through the 14th. So the 10th is
Tuesday.
Today's the 7th, so.
So are you, one of you two kind of covering home base?
Well,
here?
Yeah, we need to know
this up. No one ever talked. I mean, I don't mind cleaning cabins at all.
Sure.
But no one ever said a word to me about it.
Okay.
You know, and so we got cabin 4 we got to clean up on Tuesday night or something.
Because someone new is coming in, then I'll pull up my.
I mean, I don't mind doing it. I just need somebody to tell me. Let's do that.
I was under the impression Alan was going to talk to you. He told me, I'll talk with Brent or I'll talk with John, and that's why it said Brent or John.
He didn't talk to me about that. I just knew that he wanted to be gone for a few days.
He forgot.
Told me that a couple of weeks ago.
So,
and I was going to ask him this morning because I come down real
he's
early.
He's a guy. Give him a break.
Yeah.
Oh, no break for being a guy.
I didn't see him. I got here too late.
Just clean them all, Brent.
Well, if...
Do you want 3% or 3.5%?
I need to find my French maid outfit.
I'll let you use mine.
We just put a little lace around that hat.
That's all. But here's the other question I have. Okay, they're gone. We're full, right?
We are.
Okay.
Today we have.
We have something set up. I mean, I'll come down every day and. Run through here.
I asked him before he left. I asked him, who am I supposed to talk to? You know, who's going to check in? I've got people coming in weird times and over the weekend, not regulars. And he said, well, I'll talk to Brent or John. So that was one of my things, too. Who's in charge and who do I talk to?
All right, well, that's a good question. You know, he never said one word to me. I mean, I didn't even know he was going until...
I will help Brent.
I'll help Brent.
I'll help Brent. I don't clean well, my wife, so I'll turn it over to my wife.
So that brings up a good point, because today we have a check-in in Cabin 8. There's been someone in Cabin 8, and there's someone new coming into Cabin 8 today. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what we have to do, I've got to refrigerate this.
Where'd you get that?
Okay.
Maybe you have to start that. Anyway, we'll cover it. It might not be smooth.
It'll be fine. It'll be appreciated. I have already sent an email. Now, did you get my list email? Did anyone get my list email?
I got the list.
Okay. Nothing's changed since that.
Okay.
That's current and up to date.
You know, there was just a lot of information on there for an old fellow.
I'm a pregnant woman that can help you.
Okay.
So
we covered Larry's item. Did you have another one, Larry?
Whoever's kind of covering down here, I'll talk to him tomorrow, and if it's okay, I'll just tell them to come in. And they, in the past, they said, I wasn't aware of it, but he said in the past they had just pulled in and pulled their vehicles against that south fence out there.
Where
the
horse trailer lives over there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they've done in the past.
So if you see that or you know who they are and what they're doing and why, but they...
No big deal.
Okay. The other thing I had down, you talked about.
I didn't get Larry.
I gave you the
check
for the
constant
deer tag money.
Ooh.
That's good.
The hunting stuff. Okay. The other issue was, Brad's horse that went missing. Friend of mine in town, that I went back to him to kind of get more information, and he was worried. He said, I don't know why, but I worried about the guys that run in the back one grader, and maybe they hit the horse. So if I get back with you,
those guys would have told me, but there's one up here today, and I'll ask him.
See if you can dig out any other information.
Yeah, well, those guys are real animals. I mean, they're real
stupid. I first got the, I mean, when he talked to me, I got the impression that maybe it had been shot, but when I went back, he said, no, it hadn't been shot, it was bleeding just slightly right behind its ear on its head, but he said it was like it was knocked cuckoo because it was standing in the road. He said, I pulled up, the road was really, really dusty and it was dark. I pulled up, saw the horse standing there, and I thought, something's wrong with that horse. But he got out of his truck while he was standing there petting it and, you know, talking to it. It collapsed in the road, almost knocked him into his truck. So he freaked out, thinking, oh my gosh, what's going on? Jumped in his truck to come down here to find somebody, and as he pulled away, he saw in the mirror, he saw the horse get back up and stand on its feet. So he said it was still standing. He headed down, and that's when he caught up to the vehicles all coming down here, and he said, oh, well, they're taking care of it. He said maybe the horse was sick, and they were trying to put it down, and I don't know what happened anyway.
I'll ask one of the two of them who's up working at my place right now. I'll ask them, but they're really pretty open kind of guys.
I'm
pretty confident I would have heard of that.
Maybe it's a French horse and doesn't understand English, and it's just.
Brad had the sheriff come look at it, and I haven't heard any report back on it, whether they found any bullet wound or anything.
Okay, anything else? So we can we got to have reconvene for a quick.
Email from Brad this morning said that.
Something about rotten. We need to bury it or drag it off.
We need to take care of it.
Up the whole road there. He said he contacted them and never got any response back that they're going to do anything. So,
is it Morris Brown's cow or whose is it?
I don't even know. Yeah, Brad's the only one that's been in the detail. He just sent us an email that said. Let them know that we need to do something because whoever's cabin's up there is probably stinking out.
Probably letting
it's Hedman's cabin.
His front door, his front door.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alan May has probably done
it. I had a quick question for you, Larry.
there have been so many people coming out here. Oh, I'm from Alton. I'm from Kanab. I can come up here and hunt because this owner said I could hunt here. And this owner said I could hunt here. I can't tell you how many people have. We said you can't hunt here unless you have Larry Clarkson or you have someone as a guide. Well, I can do it because I got permission.
No.
Something has to be from you. We got to get that across to the people because they're coming down in droves.
We should have, I don't know when our next newsletter is going out. That may be something we need to put in there. Just to, part of it is, I think most of those people are just totally BSing and just saying, oh, I know so-and-so, or Joe Bo gave me permission.
That's what
when they know they never happened. I don't think any of our members have ever given anybody
This guy told me the owner of Lot 36 said it was okay. I said, I don't care if the Lot 36 owner said it's okay. You can't hunt here unless Larry Clarkson tells you where. I said, I've been here for 38 years, and I don't know where the boundaries are. He says, well, I know it is, but I need fuel, he says. He says, where's the nearest gas station? You know your way around here, and you don't know where the nearest gas station is?
These aren't members that are doing this. These are outsiders.
I think it's just people that are driving through. And that's a hard thing. We have a hard time controlling who comes in and out. Better now that more of us are up here and see who's in and out. And just real fast, I know we're trying to end, but because we participate in the Pawtucket Landowners Association and we get that check, we are required to allow one limited entry draw tag to hunt and one general draw tag to hunt, but I don't advertise, I don't go out there and say, hey, we're open to whoever wants. I just keep quiet, kind of on a first-come, first-served basis, so whoever calls me that has got a tag, then I say, okay, you're on the top of the list, and you're second on the list. After that's done, anybody that calls, I say, sorry, we're done. If it's a guide and outfitter company, we charge them a $500 trespass fee. I have to let, I mean, we're technically supposed to allow the first two access because we're getting that money. Anybody beyond that, or if they're not, you know, if they're not a member of the ranch, I think they should be paying.
I think we had quite a better handle on things when Paul was here and was aware of things.
Right.
But I don't think the awareness is at the level that it used to be, and that's why I'm saying to you, we either have to make it known to people NAB or and the members and what you're doing because we're hearing too much that I hadn't heard before. So that was my concern.
And that's really one thing that's going to continue to get
worse
simply because I'll bet you there's 10 times more traffic this year than there were 2 years ago. Just in general.
Okay, let me make a suggestion. Let's have Ryan make us something we can carry in our vehicles, like a postcard-sized thing that says, and it's signed by me, the board president, and it has Larry's contact information. And Larry should, if they are allowed to hunt here, he should have something.
Anybody that is authorized, for whatever reason, if they're an outfitter and they've paid, or if they are the person that contacted me, I keep a list because I have to turn in back to the pond.
But do they come out here by themselves at all?
Depends on who they are and what they know.
If you make that judgment, I think you should hand them something.
Yeah,
we can request to show us.
Right, I do. I give them all a card, and I used to have the Deer Springs little sticker or a hang tag to give them. So we could recognize them coming through.
We can say to these people, unless you have that pass on you, here's your policy.
Yeah.
You can't be here. Please leave. And then take your picture and take a picture of your license plate and say, if you don't leave, I will be contacting Kanabshire.
Yeah. When is opening day of general season?
The 21st or the 23rd of October.
Okay, so we're going to read.
The muzzleloader hunt just ended on the 5th.
Right. We got to lock that gate back there then.
John always watches.
Usually go up there on opening morning because we've had some guys in there before the trade. Do we have anybody applied yet?
Nobody this year. Actually, there was, but he was an early season bow hunter. He wanted access to the ranch just for scouting because that's the other unique thing about this area. There's no point in hunting deer when the deer are not here. I mean, there are a few random deer throughout Deer Springs, but
are migratory more this year than I've ever seen.
Well, they started migrating early. So they're coming down through past your place. I was working over there yesterday and the day before.
I've seen a really big one.
Pilot through.
I see at least a 1 to 2 4 5 6. I mean, one really big, wide, 4 or 5.
We've had a couple of herds of them, about 15 of them through my property twice since I've been here.
Officially, the board meeting's over with.
Right. Oh, we can probably talk about it in the next one.
And
next
in
meeting?
5 minutes, we'll have our next meeting.
You want to talk about next meeting? What date?
Oh, our next meeting. What is the second weekend in November?
The 11th. It looks like that's Veterans Day.
Huh?
That's Veterans Day? The 11th.
The 11th?
What might
and,
be
on Saturday?
Well, celebrated on, I don't know, whatever. It's that weekend.
And we'll have it in St. George.
November 11th.
Barry's place.
I'm available.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, is that okay, Barry?
Yep.
We did last year.
Okay.
Mine's always available, even if we have to change last minute.
We want to make it 11 or put it to 10. You guys are coming from Canada.
I don't care.
11 o'clock, Utah time.
It takes me an hour and a half, minimum 2 hours to get there.
Okay, so 11 o'clock at Barry's.
11 o'clock at my place, and then I'll bring pizzas for everybody for lunch.
Okay, nice. So we will reconvene for the closed meeting.
Pepperoni.
Okay, I just made a sale.
Yeah,
yeah.
And Bob's buying...